Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Elizabeth Hess. Secretary of State Colin Powell calls this an important moment in Middle East history. Powell is with President Bush in Egypt for meetings with Arab leaders on Mideast peace. They're pushing the new roadmap for peace.
So that we can seize this historic opportunity for peace after so much bloodshed. And responsibilities are assigned to all of the parties. And the U.S. will work with Arab partners to see that their responsibilities are fulfilled.
A Fairfax County, Virginia circuit court judge says she will rule on a defense motion for a change of venue in one of the sniper suspects' trials in a month or so. Judge Jane Rouse must conduct business in Big Stone Gap in the southwest corner of Virginia. That area could host the trial of Lee Boyd Malvo, and the judge may even scout it out. Malvo's defense lawyer, Craig Cooley, argued yesterday that leaks of a reported confession by their client, plus the feeling of many residents that they were victimized by the sniper shooting, makes it impossible to get a fair trial in Fairfax County.
When I used the phrase that the entire jury pool could be part of the victim class, I meant because they were impacted by the events of that time.
Seattle police are gearing up for a second day of demonstrations outside a closed-door law enforcement seminar. Correspondent George Lynn has been following the latest events.
Today's protest will take place in front of Seattle City Hall. Protesters are upset the Law Enforcement Intelligence Unit seminar is not open to the public. They're accusing law enforcement of having something to hide, calling them the secret police. Violent clashes during a riot last night caused officers to use rubber bullets and pepper spray to help keep order. At least a dozen arrests were made, no major damage or injuries reported. George Lynn, Seattle.
Health ministers from across Asia are meeting in Beijing to discuss how to contain the outbreak of SARS. Hank Beckedam, the World Health Organization's representative in China, says they are now working towards the possible eradication of the virus.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello. Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news. No. I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Let's read this one.
My favorite.
You want me to read a bedtime story? You have a bad headache.
Yeah, but I can't let it ruin our story time.
The moment of choice. Which will work better on your headache? Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, you'll feel better faster with Advil Liquid Gels. These advanced liquid-filled capsules rush relief where you need it. They're proven to work faster, stronger, better than Tylenol on tough pain.
The
end.
Good night, big girl.
Good night, big guy.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz says plans to realign U.S. military forces in Asia should not be delayed due to worries over North Korea's nuclear ambitions.
The North Koreans have certain advantages over us, asymmetric advantages, which they continue to press. We have some considerable advantages as well, particularly advantages that accrue from the kinds of remarkable military capabilities that the world has just seen demonstrated in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Wolfowitz is the most senior Pentagon official to visit East Asia since 2001.
My cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got her down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Congress plans to launch inquiries into intelligence on Iraqi's weapons of mass destruction. Despite pre-war claims that Iraq had hundreds of tons of chemicals and biological weapons, none have been found. U.S. Administrator for Iraq, Paul Bremer, is confident that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction.
It is, in my view, a very important priority of the coalition. I think we will find something at some point. It seems very hard to believe that Saddam Hussein would have put his people through the misery he put them through for 12 years, given up billions and billions of dollars of revenue if he didn't have something to hide.
The verdict is mixed in the nation's first terror trial since the September 11th attacks. WDIV-TV in Detroit reports that alleged ringleader Abdel Elal El-Marudi has been found guilty of providing material support to terrorists, the largest of terrorism charges. Karim Kalbridi has been found guilty of a lesser terrorism charge, while two other men were acquitted of all terrorism charges against them. I'm Elizabeth Hess with IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Anti-lock brakes, seat belts, and airbags, all ounces of prevention safety that equip today's cars. But when we come back, I'll tell you where there's a pound of cure. Just in case you need it.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing: Champion spark plugs. They race different makes of cars: Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination: the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion spark plugs.
Today's technology-equipped cars are designed to prevent accidents. But when they happen, it's technology again, this time to the rescue. 1,000 cars in upstate New York are testing automated collision notification. This system uses in-vehicle sensors to detect a crash and then employs a satellite and cellular phone system to relate the severity and location of the accident directly to 911. After receiving this information, the operator then opens a voice line and dispatches emergency assistance. Wow, that sounds like 2 pounds of cure to me. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werbe Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Jalene Jordan.
Well,
thank you for joining us. And we were just listening to the Tom Hartman Show on the IE America Radio Network and heard Scott Ritter, the former UN inspection chief, talking and realized he only had a couple minutes on Tom's show. So we've invited him back. And it's at a time where increasingly it's clear the emperor has no clothes. Let's say hello to Scott Ritter. Hi, Scott. Thanks for joining us again on the Peter Werbe Show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Well, I heard what you said on the Tom Hartman Show, that the United States broke international law and said essentially that it had to, because the situation was so dire that Saddam Hussein would have attacked us at any time. And now, where are those weapons?
Well, and that's the ultimate question, is where are the weapons? The United States needs to not only find weapons, but significant quantities of weapons that sustain the allegation that Iraq possessed a capability that threatened the United States to the extent that we needed to wage war, a war that was waged in violation of international law, as you mentioned, a war that cost 171 Americans their lives. Let's never forget that. All those who are out there beating their chests and proclaiming their support for the troops, remember, the troops put on the uniform to uphold and defend the Constitution, not to pursue the individual aspirations of any given president. And as the people of the United States, it's our Constitution. We're the defenders of that Constitution, and we owe it to ourselves to ensure that before we ask soldiers to go off and fight and die in a war, that it's in a cause worthy of that sacrifice. And clearly what we have here is a cause that's been hyped up by the president. We've been lied to by the president. Frankly speaking, the president doesn't deserve the honor of representing the American people anymore.
Oh, Scott Ritter, you're a former U.S. Marine as well, and I don't know if you saw this, I did for the first time, photographs of the young men and not-so-young U.S. soldiers that have died already in Iraq. How did that strike you, given that you have, you know, had the uniform on before?
Well, it's extremely, you know, sad to realize that, you know, the lives of these brave Americans have been terminated. Their families will suffer. You know, Sean Penn, the actor who's been much maligned by many in the right, has said, and I think he just wrote a letter to the New York Times, you know, we need to think about the kind of letters that we would write to the parents and the families and friends of these brave Americans that would give them condolence in the death of their loved ones. It'd be one thing to say that your son died saving the world from weapons of mass destruction. But to say your son died because the president lied to the American people, that's just unacceptable.
Now, Scott Ritter, you're a former Marine, former U.N. weapons inspector, and yet people were maligning you as well, comparing you to Jane Fonda. I remember I saw something. I laughed so hard. They said, were you going to – someone asked you if you were going to put out an exercise tape as well. I don't know if you want to repeat your answer. Maybe that was when you were getting a little testy. But
I'm as human as anybody else, but I basically said if they had the courage to say it to my face, I'd make a video called Scott Ritter Kicking Your Ass. My wife afterwards reminded me that that may work well on the drill field or, you know, out with the Marines or the firefighters, but that's not how you win over the hearts and minds of the American people. So
you have a wife like mine that every once in a while pulls us up short. That's good. But do you think that this is finally beginning to sink into people, the truth of this matter? I mean, I wonder, you know, how deep the capacity for American self-delusion is.
Well, the capacity is extreme. I mean, one of the reasons why we're here, you know, I'm sitting here being very hard on the president, but the culpability for this national tragedy is spread evenly all around, from the very top to the very bottom. The president and his administration clearly are the instigators, but they were facilitated by a compliant Congress. You know, I find it rather frustrating to think of the Senate holding hearings on whether or not the intelligence was manipulated or distorted. That's, you know, the Senate is to blame as much as anybody else. It's the Senate who had a series of hearings last summer and last fall, which endorsed the president's point of view in regards to Iraq. It's angering to think that they're going to be asking questions today that they should have been asking last year. I mean, they should have been demanding better intelligence. They should have dug deeper, but they accepted at face value what the president said. And then there's the American people, and I condemn the American people, as harshly as I condemn the president. We are the government. We are responsible for what happens. And ultimately, we have to hold those whom we elect to higher office accountable for what they do in our name, or we cease being a free and independent democratic republic along the lines that was framed by our founders 220 years ago.
Scott, let me read just a column, a little paragraph from a column about you, and tell me what in here is either changed or different, or if you've changed your mind. It's from globalization.about.com. It says, Scott Ritter, former U.S. Marine, has created the most serious challenge to Clinton foreign policy to date. This is from what month is that? August, right? 1998. Ritter, a veteran U.N. weapons inspector in Iraq, says that if the U.N. turns away from inspecting Iraqi weapons now, Saddam Hussein will have the capacity to build chemical and biological weapons and the ballistic missiles to deliver them within 6 months.
That was an accurate statement, and I stand by it. But notice what I said. If the United Nations turns away from inspecting, I was defending the process of inspection. You know, disarmament can't happen without inspections. And when I was an inspector, I wasn't being allowed to do my job by Iraq, by the United Nations, by the United States, and I resigned in frustration. I spoke out against what I felt was a walking away from the responsibility of disarming Iraq, but never once did I endorse going to war unless that war was being waged in defense of international law, in defense of getting weapons inspectors back in. I also warned the United States Senate that we need to ensure that when we confront Iraq, that it's confronting them in regards to the mandate of disarmament as put down by the Security Council, not on other issues such as regime removal. Asking inspectors to get involved in a unilateral policy like regime removal corrupts the integrity of the process. And unfortunately, in December 1998, that's what happened. The United States used the inspectors inappropriately, used them to spy on Saddam Hussein, and then bombed Saddam Hussein without the permission of the Security Council, ordering the inspectors out. They weren't kicked out by Saddam Hussein. The United States ordered them out and then corrupted the integrity of what they were called upon to do. And then since that time, what I've said is, you know, we can't speak of holding Iraq accountable to the rule of law if we ourselves, who implement the rule of law, aren't going to abide by the rule of law. I've always been about getting inspectors back in to complete the task of disarmament, but those inspectors have to do the job that's mandated, not be sent off on tangential missions like spying on Saddam Hussein.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ron Mills, who's a listener and also heads the Broward County, Florida Democratic Victory Network, sent me a bunch of quotes, and starting off from August 26th. Dick Cheney saying there's no doubt that Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction, and pretty much ends with Donald Rumsfeld just a few days ago speaking to the Council on Foreign Relations on May 27th, saying they may have had time to destroy them. I don't know the answer. That's what you're beginning to hear, that they destroyed the weapons right before the United States invaded Iraq, or they've sent them off to Syria, or whatever.
Well, it's curious that in the lead up to the war, we were given assurances by the president, by the vice president, by the Bush administration, by members of Congress, that the evidence was just rock solid. They had proof positive that Iraq had these weapons and massive quantities of these weapons. And the information they cited was of such a specific nature that one had to believe we had a spy on the inside and we knew what was going on. That's why they couldn't tell us how they knew this, because it was dangerous. Somebody's life would be at risk. And now we're told that the weapons could have been moved to Syria or were destroyed beforehand, but that's sheer speculation. It's not as though they're bringing up intelligence saying this is what happened. They're just guessing. Iraq was the most closely watched piece of real estate in the history of the modern world. We had more cameras, sensors, spies, eyes on target for a sustained amount of time. Nothing happened in Iraq without us knowing about it. The concept of Iraq disposing of weapons of mass destruction, blowing them up. A, where were they built? I mean, even if you blow up the weapon, we should be able to find the factory that produced them. And if you blew it up, that in itself leaves a trace. Iraq is a crime scene, allegedly, so there should be evidence of a crime having been committed. And yet we're finding nothing, not even just no weapons, no evidence that weapons ever existed. So the Secretary of Defense's speculation is just that, sheer speculation designed to hedge the timeline of accountability. The administration wants us to give them more time, give them months, even years, to piece together this puzzle. But the bottom line is there's no puzzle to piece together. There were no weapons. And the American people at some point in time have to say enough is enough. You lied to us, and now you're going to pay the price.
Well, Scott Ritter, I think you mentioned the magic word, and that's beginning to finally surface, and even in the mainstream media. I'm looking at the New York Times today, Paul Krugman's column, Standard Operating Procedure, where he finally says that is simply a lie. He's talking about a number of things that the Bush administration has said. And there's been such a reticence, particularly after September 11th, and particularly when the nation's at war, to look at the politicians running this country and saying, we've been lied to, but I think this is starting to happen, and correctly so.
I believe that the American people are going to start putting on a new filter to evaluate the data coming out of Washington. Since September 11, 2001, the Bush administration has been masterful in manipulating the fear and ignorance of the American people to get them to buy into any number of things, not just war with Iraq, but war on terror, homeland security, austere budgets for domestic programs while increasing the budgets for military and homeland security programs. And again, the Americans just said, hey, the president says it, we're at war, we're under attack, and we're going to have to believe him, take him at face value, and we'll behold those who put up their hands and say, time out, I got a question. But now that the president's been caught off base in a big way in regards to weapons of mass destruction, and American lives have been lost, and American prestige has been tarnished, I think Americans are starting to go back and reevaluate everything this administration said. And as Mr. Krugman pointed out in the New York Times, it's all a lie. We've been told one lie after another after another. And, the American people might be gullible, but we are a good people and a just people. And I honestly believe that once we piece together the duplicity that's been exercised by the Bush administration, there will be an accounting.
30 seconds, Scott Ritter. I sure hope you're writing a book.
I'm writing one. It's called Frontier Justice, and it will be put out by Context Books hopefully sometime in early July.
I definitely will have you back if you'll permit us.
It'd be a pleasure.
Thank you, Scott Ritter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining me on the Peter Werby Show. And Jalene Jordan, are you with us still? If not, she will rejoin
Can
us.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Could you hear my microphone?
When I thought you fell off your chair or something.
I didn't know if that was part of that whole interview. Guess it was. I apologize.
That's quite all right. Now, is it? You notice I said to him, Paul Krugman, and he said,
yes,
Paul Krugman.
I was going to bring that up.
Well, I've been saying Krugman, but then Danny Schechter, the news dissector, who knows Krugman, said Krugman yesterday.
Oh, boy. Now we're really confused.
I think it's Krugman.
I think it, that's what I call him.
Yeah, yeah. But he has got an incredible column.
Call Paul. Krugman. I have.
We don't want you on the air. We just want to know how to pronounce your name. Hey, we'll be right back. Give us a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Peter Werby reminding you that my show is now being broadcast from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network. It's the same show filled with engaged, intelligent talk featuring not just you, the listener, but also a wide range of interesting guests. So if you want to leave right-wing hate radio in the 20th century where it belongs, join me, Peter Werby, weekdays 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time for something entirely different.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities like Ted Nugent.
Everybody's got to learn to support hunting, fishing, and trapping because that's where the dollars come from to save habitat.
You know, every time you get done talking, I feel like I should say amen.
Because I live the truth. That's what my book, God, Guns, and Rock and Roll, is on the New York Times bestseller list. It sounds like I'm bragging because I am.
Well, I love the book, Ted. I read it. I loved it.
Thank you. Well, it's like we're at a damn campfire, isn't it?
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Joined by Jalene Jordan. And I don't think we're going to spend too much time, Jalene, kicking it around whether it's columnist Paul Krugman or columnist Paul Krugman. Both of us think it's Krugman, right?
Yeah, right.
All right.
Yeah, you said Krugman.
Well, I thought because Danny Schechter, my old pal who was a guest yesterday, said that. The New York Times column by Paul Krugman today, Standard Operating Procedure, probably has been sent to me by more people than any column that since I've been doing this broadcast going on to three years. Yeah. But let's get some people on the air right now, because after all, this is a phone-in talk show, 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Steve in Jackson, Alabama. Steve, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Well, thanks. I've been listening to your show a couple of days now. I just finally got through. I was listening to your previous person on there, and in 98, Clinton, shot a couple missiles over there at Iraq and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And told the weapons inspectors to get out.
Right.
But didn't the weapons inspectors, find some stuff then, and they had, a whole list of stuff?
Well, they had some lists. Scott Ritter, who was head of the UN weapons inspectors, who was just on the show, he said that when he left, when he was ordered out, or actually he resigned, he said that that Iraq was 90 to 95% disarmed. And I think it's interesting, you know, that he said that it's probably the most closely watched piece of real estate in the world. So essentially what he was saying, that it was preposterous to assume that Saddam Hussein had or has any weapons system or weapons research facilities that justified going to war in the manner that it did.
You know, I'm not a conservative. I'm not liberal or neither one. I mean, there's some things, like the Democrats I like. There's some things that the Republicans do I like, and which are some things that both of them do that I don't like, you know.
Gotcha. See, there.
You can't be happy with everybody.
Sure, so.
But we've been with it for so long that, it kind of, it's over now, you know, out of the way. It's either if they did or they didn't. Well now.
Yeah, here's what I think, Steve. I don't think it's over by a long shot. And I think that this is beginning to develop. In fact, maybe a better way to say it is beginning to unravel. And we'll talk about that a little more. Demonstrations of thousands of anti-American demonstrations by thousands of Iraqis, ex-soldiers claiming they're going to be suicide bombers. The country's still in a terrible mess. This was an awful mistake on the part of Bush, an arrogant, opportunistic illegal war, and I'm afraid that the Iraqi people have paid a great cost for his mistake. Some Americans have as well, and I don't think this has played out yet, unfortunately. All right, thank you for joining us from Jackson, Alabama. Appreciate it. Here's Linda in Cupertino, California. Linda, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I was reminiscing the other day over the innocent days when candidate Al Gore, was being accused of lying. Remember all that?
Oh, yeah.
The internet and love story and all of that. How quaint. Isn't it quaint? No?
Well, how about that big, terrible lie that sent this country almost into a tailspin, whether or not Bill Clinton actually had sex with somebody? Boy, that was really important.
Oh, that was so important.
Yeah.
And boy, wouldn't I give to have those days back. But at the time, I hated them. I think that this is really a big thing. Blair is really being pounded for it over in Britain. And we did break the law when we invaded and occupied Iraq. And we did lie to our allies. And we did bribe our allies, some of our allies, to go along with us there. And we are looking more like the rogue state that we are always trying to, you know, pursue ourselves.
Absolutely.
I think that this is going to be big. I'm going to continue to write to the members of the Arms
Services Committee. Yeah,
Services Committee.
Well, I would maybe start with Senator Carl Levin. He's the minority on that committee, but he's a lot more sympathetic. Got to go. Thank you. Be right back. Open line. Give us a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
but you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's another Black Tuesday in France as much of the country's commerce and education grinds to a halt for the second time in less than a month. Widespread strikes began today. Air traffic controllers, dock workers, train and bus drivers, teachers, journalists, utility workers, and some government employees have taken to the streets again as France's National Assembly begins debate on reforms to the country's public pension system, which would extend the retirement age. The government made a last-ditch effort Monday to stave off the strikes by agreeing to delay implementation of the reforms until the fall, but the protesting unions say the proposal must either be scrapped or the labor unrest will continue.
A pair of proposed changes to the Fair Labor Standards Act have labor organizations wondering if the 40-hour work week is about to become a thing of the past. Under pressure from the Bush administration, the Labor Department may soon reclassify millions of American workers as exempt from overtime pay. Meanwhile, a bill before the House of Representatives this week would allow employers to substitute time and a half pay with paid vacations, compensation which would come as many as 13 months after an employee works an overtime shift.
One of the purposes that premium pay for overtime serves is to encourage employers not to make people work overtime.
David Cohen is an assistant to the president of the Department of Professional Employees. He says changes to the country's 60-year-old overtime rules could spell the end of the five-day work week.
Politicians who talk about family values need to leave people a little time with their families to transmit those values.
The House votes on changes to overtime laws this Thursday. Meanwhile, the Labor Department will close a public comment period at the end of June and could roll back overtime eligibility by the end of the summer.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The Peter Werby Show. Call Peter now at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Jalene Jordan, welcome back to you.
Thank you.
Eric Clapton doing one of his big hits, Cocaine. you know, when we...
Probably did a few of those.
You think Eric did a few lines? Well, he looks like a dentist now. When I saw him at...
like one of the Gibb brothers.
Yes, when I was at the, what was it, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. Geez, that was back in 99. I was real close to him, and I thought, why does this guy look familiar? Is he my dentist? And he's just wearing a suit and a green tie.
But he's got great teeth.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's why I thought.
Well, anyways, whenever that plays, like when I'm doing my classic rock DJ shift on WCSX, and that's the last song, I always say, remember, kids, do not try this at home. Leave it to the radio professionals. All right. I want to read a little from this Paul Krugman column in today's New York Times,
sure.
But there's a number of people waiting, so I'm going to go to them first. You can get in line if you want, 1-800-TALK-YES, talking about lines. And this column is available at nytimes.com. It's available on buzzflash.com and I think on commondreams.org. But let's go to Terry in Silver Springs, Maryland. He's on a cell phone. It's Peter Werbe and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK. Yes, welcome, Terry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. I just wanted to say that the most important thing that Paul Krugman said in his article, this is a bigger scandal than Watergate.
Yes, I thought that was very interesting that he said that.
Yeah, I mean, there is the possibility that WMDs could still be found, but why? I mean, President Bush made it sound like, and I say president in like quotation marks.
Gotcha.
Good.
You know, but he made it sound as if the weapons were going to be meeting the troops.
Sure, remember?
You know?
Yeah, he said that they could be operational within 45 minutes, that these Republican Guard divisions
absolutely
had them. But remember, Terry, that we found out also, according to General Tommy Franks, the head of the troops there, that they paid off the Republican Guard officers to not fight.
Sure.
So they knew it was a lie. They knew it was a lie.
Sure. And I don't know if you guys knew this, but last week one of the lieutenant generals there, I think his name was McQuernan, he was saying he's baffled by the fact that McKiernan, I think is his name, he's baffled by the fact that, you know, we've been everywhere and we can't find it. I don't understand why. And I think I agree with you, Peter. I think this is going to gain some traction in this country, particularly if Tony Blair falls.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Britain, they're not letting him off the hook yet.
Well, if we only had an opposition party in this country,
exactly.
That's what we need. But remember the Democratic Party? It used to be active in the 20th century.
Yeah. Hey. I wanted to just call you guys' attention to just there's something on alternet.org today about the 12th. A 12-step program for regime change by Don Hazen. So if all the listeners and you guys can go to it, it's really interesting.
That's a great sign. I did see that one. Thank you, Terry. Join us again, please. All right.
Bye-bye.
1-800-TALK-YES. And Peter Werbe and Jalene Jordan with you. Let's go out to KTRC land in Santa Fe and talk to Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Peter and Jalene.
Hi.
I'm sitting here listening to your show, and I don't know why. I just started thinking about murder. But not my murdering anybody. It's just famous murderers throughout history. And I'm wondering, maybe you know, somebody has started a roster of famous murderers, Charles Manson, Saddam Hussein, George Bush. Mm-hmm. It occurred to me that Charles Manson never really killed anybody. I don't think so.
He ordered.
He got people to kill.
That's right.
Kill people. And Hitler, I don't know if he ever killed anybody, although he was in World War One, and he may have shot somebody during battle, but I don't think he ever killed anybody. And George Bush, I just wonder if the tally, if somebody has a list, it'd be fun, if murder can be fun to look at, just to see, and see where George goes in the next few years.
Well, let me see. I'm just going to go right now to my website, peterwerbe.com, PETERWERBE.com. And let me see. Civilian casualties. Now, this is lowballing, too. 5,520, at least, you know, somewhere around coalition fatalities, 210. Now, if this was all a lie that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and this war was absolutely unnecessary to protect the United States or anyone in the region, what does that make George W. Bush?
Well, on top of being an illegal war. So I'm going to go ahead and, from now on, he's a murderer, and that's where it is, and hope nobody tries to get me back to that.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark.
Nice talking to you.
All right.
Yeah, you too.
Now, you remember oftentimes, Jalene Jordan, that people, when they refer to Frankenstein, they mean the monster, right?
Right.
Which is incorrect. It was Dr. Frankenstein's monster.
Okay.
You are Dr. Frankenstein.
What do you mean?
Here he is, Billy from Santa Cruz.
Billy!
Hey! How's my creator?
I don't know. Jalene Jordan had Billy from Santa Cruz on for a whole 3 hours?
He was right here in my studio with me. And then I met his whole family. They're great.
I heard.
They're just great.
Me, I was on a farm outside of Nashville, just you know, we were plucking guitars and had hayseeds in our hair.
Peter, so I get what you're trying to do here. You're trying to disavow all responsibility of what happened that day.
Hey, I wasn't there. I don't, you know.
You hear what he's doing to us, Jalene?
Yeah, I hear.
How was it? How did it sound, Peter?
I'm telling you, I didn't hear it. I was on this farm.
Peter?
They didn't have flush toilets
Peter,
there.
I seem to remember getting an email from you. You must have had access to a computer.
I did at some parts during the day.
Ah.
But not when you guys were on.
So I have been out of touch for a while. Is George Bush still president?
Last I heard, but I think his days are numbered. I think finally this mendacity is beginning to catch up.
That's why it's for the rest of you people.
Well, yeah, I don't want to get away from that. People always say he was distorting it, grossly manipulating, you know, stuff like that. You know, the Times of London quoted in Paul Krugman's wonderful op-ed piece for today's column, Standard Operating Procedure, the pro-war Times of London said it ran an analysis about these weapons of mass destruction under the headline, Lie Another Day.
Wow.
This is a pro-war paper.
Yeah, but I don't think it changes anything in the minds of the electorate as far as I can tell.
Well, you know, you can't really tell because if you're watching the telly, if, as they say in Britain, if you're listening to these right-wing freaks that that host talk shows in America, well, then you get a distorted view. I don't know what, I can't imagine what the average person is thinking, and I don't think there's any way to tell.
You know, I was listening to the, what is it, the trained pet, the corporate stooge, Michael Powell.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he has the mendacity, if you will, and the chutzpah to say that, well, really, what people don't like is bigness. They don't like success. It wasn't about diversity of opinion. It's the rest of us don't like success.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, give me that Yiddish word again.
Chutzpah.
God.
Cojones.
You think there's an etymological connection between Espanol and Yiddish?
They're the lost tribe.
Okay. Billy, I know. I hate to break your heart, but I got to get another caller.
You're breaking my heart. I love talking to you, Peter. Congratulations.
Right.
Thank you, Jalene. I'll talk to you all later.
All right.
Bye, Billy.
Bye-bye, Billy. Let's go to John's listening to KTRC in Santa Fe. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Hi, you're on the air.
Is that me?
That's you. Hi, John.
It's you.
Yes, hi. I didn't hear my name. I'm going to say something a little controversial, but I wanted to put it out. I think that one of the things that's overlooked when we're talking about murder and unnecessary lives and, you know, 171 people doesn't sound like a big number of U.S. servicemen, but I think there's a strong complicity with 911 that is really the first domino in all this, that a lot of all that's happening has been a distraction from that, that there was some complicity at least, which makes them move, which puts blood on the hands of our leaders, including Bush. And there is even evidence from some people's point of view, and I know it's controversial, I see the evidence, and it's quite strong, that that 911 wasn't in the way it's been explained to us. So I just want to put that out there because I would like some attention to go back there since that was the excuse for this whole war on terror.
Sure. Well, here's what I think, John, is that the Bush administration, one would think, would want it all explained and all out there. But the commission, the September 11th commission, has been way underfunded. There's not enough money there to really find out what happened, if there were intelligence gaps or what kind of pre-knowledge existed or what have you. The Bush administration also has tried to delay. In fact, they probably succeeded. The results of it all will not come in until after the November 2004 elections. The Bush regime knew that there were going to be other terror attacks. I knew there was going to be other terror attacks. There were public declarations by Osama bin Laden that those were coming. The Bush administration, I think, will come to be found out, hopefully by this commission, hopefully before November 2004, knew an attack was coming and planned to respond in exactly the manner it did. And to make war and preparation for war its centerpiece of its administration, and at the same time capturing land masses, establishing imperial outposts where it could control the natural resources of the different regions of Asia and the Middle East.
And if that's true, then we need to add that couple of thousand lives to the toll.
Well, the 4,000 absolutely innocent civilian lives in Afghanistan. There's no reason for
I mean, in 911
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there are all sorts of really wacky conspiracy theories about September 11th, but that's what happens when the when there is not a full and forthcoming explanation as to what exactly happened. John, do you have Internet access?
Yes.
All right. Well, there's a I'm trying. I got so much on my website.
How about Gulu Futures? Is that one of them?
I don't know that one, but you can go to nine.
Well, that's where you see a very explicit, detailed examination of some of the strange things about 911 and the Pentagon.
Well, the only thing I would say is be careful of some of it. There's enough that's out there. I always say to people when they start giving me these very, 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 very deep conspiracy theories, maybe they're true, maybe they're not. There's really no way to ever determine their veracity. But we can look at the front page of the New York Times or the New Mexican, in your case, the paper in Santa Fe. It's all right out there. There's enough there. We don't have to start thinking that the Venusian space fleet, I'm not saying you're saying that intervened to you know, create all this, but if you go to 911PI, like in People's Investigation, 911PI.com.
That sounds good.
That's pretty good. And also my website, Peter Werbe, where my last name's Werbe.com. It's all on there as well.
Well, I just wanted to include that
very important
in the dialogue because you know, they have stifled investigation. They have taken all the runes and either shipped them to China or dumped them in the ocean. I forget what. So there can never really be a full investigation of this. And it seems strange to me.
Well, John, this program immodestly prides itself on being the show that dares to connect the dots. So that's absolutely one of them. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Let's go down south to Birmingham, Alabama. Joe, hi. It's Peter Werbe and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES.
How you doing, Peter?
Doing good.
I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to you a long time, though.
Oh, that's great. Appreciate you calling in.
I just wanted to make a comment about the 9/11.
Sure.
You know, it's rather Americans want to believe it or not. It was coming in a long time. I mean, you know, we sort of let our pants down a little bit, and that's what happens. You know, it same way before World War II. I mean, we never did think we'd end up in a world conflict, and you know, it's like business as usual to something really happens, like Pearl Harbor or 9/11, and then it. Like a big wake-up call, like it's shock to him or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right.
You have a good day.
You too. Thanks for joining us. We did indeed. Do you want to play it right now, Char? Should we do it? Is it up and available? Yeah. Jalene Jordan.
What?
Are you the producer of this show?
Yes.
Where's Jim Hightower?
Jim Hightower.
We forgot. Here's Jim Hightower on the Peter on the Peter Werbe Show.
I have to whisper this to you because it's a secret the Bushites want to keep from you. They have become totally obsessed with secrecy and are spending billions of our tax dollars in an anti-democratic lockdown to keep public information from, well, us, the taxpaying public. I'm not talking about deep, dark spy stuff affecting national security. I'm talking about everyday materials on what various Bush officials are doing that affect our jobs, liberties, clean air and water, food, and other basics. The Bushites are slap-happy about secrecy, slapping top secret on any and every document that might reveal what they're doing to us and who benefits from their backroom, closed-door actions. Even before the September 11 terrorist attacks gave them a political excuse for shutting out We the People, Bush and company were removing more than 33 million public documents from public scrutiny, nearly a 50% increase over the previous year. They spent about $5 billion classifying, storing, and guarding documents, a 40% increase over the Clinton years. This autocratic penchant for executive secrecy is so un-American that it has alarmed many conservative Republicans. Representative Porter Goss, for example, thinks it's ridiculous. Head of the House Intelligence Committee, Goss says, I read report after report after report all day, and they've got some type of secret classification cover on it. I'll say, what's classified about that? Senator Richard Shelby, an Alabama Republican, thinks that the rush to secrecy is not merely ridiculous, but dangerous. A lot of the documents are classified for the wrong reason, because they're embarrassing or perhaps because of a cover-up, he says. This is Jim Hightower saying, conservative or liberal, we can't let executive power hide behind a secrecy stamp. To battle the stamp of autocracy, call the Federation of American Scientists, 202-546-3300.
As Jim Hightower and the Peter Werbe Show, America's favorite populist.
Mm-hmm.
How come you and me don't get to be America's favorite populist?
I don't know.
You know why?
Why?
He works a lot harder. That man works. You know, he used to
sit. He's got a big tour going around still, I believe.
Really? Well, he used to sit in this chair, and he just couldn't do a daily talk show and do all the speaking engagements, all the organizing, all the book writing, and what have you. So he is one of those hardest working men in showbiz guys. This is from Jeff. He wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Since the beginning of the year, I've had a strong feeling that Bush will be out of office by mid-December, probably by resignation. That appears more likely all the time.
One can only hope.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but they may be sitting on this house of cards, and if it all came tumbling down, how wonderful it would be. Now, let's see. I actually went beyond. Oh, this is Edgar in Tucson. He's... Right, boy, we're out of time. Ready for this segment? Okay, it's an article from smirkingchimp.com. You can go there and see the smirkingchimp.com. It's a quote from Lieutenant General Conway, 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, and it's extraordinarily damning to the administration. I'll read you a little piece of that when we come back. Jalene Jordan is with me. I'm Peter Werbe. We're at 1-800-TALK-YES. Join us.
Mom, what's wrong?
My knees are killing me. I shouldn't have jogged this morning.
Today's my party. You gonna be okay?
I should be. The party's hours away.
And we have tons to do.
The moment of choice, Tylenol or Advil. Which works better to get you through the day? Truth is, Advil can give you longer-lasting relief, better relief than Tylenol for tough muscle aches and pain. And Advil is gentle on your stomach.
Mom, you look like you're having fun.
I really am.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video, call Power, Performance, and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the time is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
The
Peter Werbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werbe and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Welcome back to the Peter Werbe Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Well, July 4th is just about a month away, right, Julene Jordan?
It is.
In fact, today's the 3rd, so a little over a month. And what marks the 4th of July is fireworks, right?
Yeah.
But there might not be any.
What?
Particularly in small towns across America, because the new federal agencies that oversee fatherland security, they can't agree on the restrictions that should be on the shipment of fireworks that are going by train.
Okay.
Now, I mean, you never can tell when terrorists are going to strike.
They might
strike at a fireworks-laden train. These people are so despicable.
Well, I'm glad they're putting all these ideas in people's heads.
Yeah, that's right. That's another thing. Don Lantis of North Sioux City, South Dakota, he's the head of a family-owned pyrotechnics company. Puts on 300 to 400 shows around the country every Independence Day. He said, it's getting stupid. Do they really think a terrorist will use a firecracker to blow up a building?
I mean, really?
And because of uncertainty over how to comply with the government's anti-terror laws, railways have refused to handle fireworks since early this year, cutting off the main method of transportation for shipments arriving at West Coast ports from China and other Asian countries. On May 5th, the government issued regulations on fireworks transport by air, water, and truck, but has yet to decide on new guidelines for trains.
Hey, how about horse and buggy?
There you go. Wagon train.
Yeah,
that's about it. I mean, that's what I say. I mean, I think all of this has been exaggerated by 90%. And I wonder, you know, I asked this the other day, and absolutely no one responded. Now, I know there's many of you living and listening in Europe, for instance, and all these European countries that have experienced terrorism. At what level did terrorism or worry about it fill your consciousness and the political consciousness? So we know we have people listening in France. We know we have people listening in Britain. I'm trying to think of the other countries. I don't know. I've never gotten any message from anyone listening in Spain. If you're listening in Spain, call talkyes@yahoo.com because they have this ongoing problem with these Basque separatists who blow up stuff every once in a while. And obviously the English were very concerned because they were getting bombs in department stores and on city streets.
Right.
Stuff blew off in France in subways and what have you. So there's a real concern. Why am I forgetting Israel? I'll bet you there are more people listening that have lived in Israel and that have an understanding of the dangers of public terror than probably most people around the world.
Yeah.
So if any of you were any of those countries or anywhere else that I haven't thought of, please give us a call at 1-800-TALK-YES and let us know, because I think what's happening here in America has been way over-exaggerated and purposely manipulated by the Bush gang.
I think you're right.
All right, we're going to be back. Peter Werbe, Julene Jordan, you join us, 1-800-TALK-YES.
You've been listening to The Peter Werbe Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network. Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. President Bush is meeting Arab leaders for a summit on the so-called roadmap for peace in the Middle East.
The summit in Egypt comes as Israel begins its program of releasing 100 Palestinian prisoners. It's part of the goodwill measures aimed at easing the implementation of the roadmap. President Bush will meet leaders of Egypt, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, and Jordan to explain his proposals for peace to them. He'll then travel on to Jordan to host the first peace summit between the Israeli and Palestinian prime ministers on Wednesday. Suzanne Chislett, London.
The Justice Department has released an audit of how people detained on immigration violations after the September 11th attacks were treated.
Security guards possibly physically abusing some detainees. Lights left on in cells all night, making it hard to sleep. These are just some of the unduly harsh conditions uncovered by the Inspector General. The Justice Department also moves slowly on many of the cases, delaying detainees' access to attorneys. Human rights campaigners praise the report, but insist U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft must take action, saying he cannot ignore the damning findings and the detailed recommendations for ensuring that these abuses are not repeated. A spokeswoman for the U.S. Justice Department says the agency will not apologize for finding every legal way possible to protect the American public from further terrorist attacks. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Rhode Island Congressman Patrick Kennedy says he's against the federal tax cut proposed by the president and recently passed by Congress. He says he doesn't expect the tax break to create immediate trickle-down economics.
Business will invest where they see a profit, and with consumer confidence lagging so low, it's not as if they'll see a profit with the extra money they get and then turn that money back into the economy. So giving them more money, most of them will just put it in their pockets and save it.
He says an alternative would have been a tax break for those with more moderate incomes. More in a moment.
Hey, Larry, baby, you want to go for a ride?
Why, Vince, I didn't know you cared.
I don't, but I'm looking for a baby.
But, Vince, we're crash dummies.
Well, your head's about the size of a baby.
What are you doing?
Taking it off! I'm using your head in a rear-facing infant seat.
Why?
To show how babies up front are in airbag danger.
You know I get sick when I ride backwards and without a body.
Up in front, kids won't know what hit them when the airbag blows.
Then why do people put their kids up front, Vince?
I don't know. Maybe it makes them feel better to see them sitting by their side. Although, if my baby looked like you, he'd ride in the trunk.
Hey, where are we going, Vince?
You know that brick wall with the big bullseye?
I can see it vaguely in the back of my mind.
Well, in 2 seconds, that's exactly where it's going to be. Holy cow, Larry, you're embedded in the seat.
Tire iron!
I can't understand you. I'll go get a tire iron.
Thank you.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your kids in the back seat. A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Serious trouble may soon reach the boiling point for homemaking expert Martha Stewart. The Southern District of New York has told Stewart's company she is the focus of a criminal investigation and that prosecutors are taking their case to a grand jury for indictment. IBM says it's the target of an SEC investigation of accounting practices. They say regulators are investigating how revenues were reported at its retail solutions unit in 2000 and 2001. More after this.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Scott Peterson's lawyers say they want the Stanislaus County District Attorney's Office booted off the case against their client. Don Andrews reports.
Lawyer Mark Garagos says the DA's office willfully violated Peterson's rights by listening in on phone conversations he had with his other attorney, Kirk McAllister. In addition, in those court papers, Garagos says any evidence gathered in those intercepted phone calls or evidence gathered as a result of those calls should be disallowed. Peterson is facing two counts of murder for allegedly killing his pregnant wife, Lacey, and their unborn child. Garagos requested the court review his motion at a hearing coming up this Friday. I'm Don Andrews.
An arraignment is scheduled for today in Birmingham, Alabama, for serial bombing suspect Eric Robert Rudolph. The military veteran was captured over the weekend in North Carolina after running from federal authorities for 5 years. He is the suspect in the bombings of an abortion clinic in Birmingham that killed one woman, as well as separate blasts in Atlanta. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and water pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark.
If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and welcome back. Hey, we began this program by talking to Scott Ritter. He's the former U.N. weapons inspector, also a U.S. Marine veteran as well. And hi, Jalene Jordan.
Hi, Peter Werby.
Hi. Didn't mean to forget about you.
I was glad you got Scott Ritter. He's been on the road and speaking so much, I was having a hard time getting him to call back.
And he is beginning, as so many other people are in this nation, of using the L word when it comes to George W. Bush and his mendacious administration. Liars. They lied about this war in Iraq.
Yes,
absolutely.
Scott was hardcore last hour.
He was hardcore, yeah. So we talked a lot about that. And also, I was raising the issue. Actually, John from Santa Fe called in, was talking about the connection with all of this with September 11th. And I put out the call. I said, are there people that have lived in countries where terrorism was an immediate threat and happening considerably? Israel, France, Britain.
England.
Yeah, yeah, probably not Ceylon. But and I actually forgot South Africa. And joining us from Venice Beach, California is Paul. Paul lived in Johannesburg, South Africa. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining us, Paul. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES.
How you doing, Peter?
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
So you lived there during the apartheid time?
No, the bombing stuff happened. It was the Afrikaners who did that.
Oh, that was white racist. Yeah.
Yeah, as Mandela was coming to power and all of that. And in Paris, too, I had dinner on the Seine the night of the bombings at Notre Dame, right across from there.
Boy.
And you know, there's security and everything, but I didn't feel the invasion of my privacy the way I do here. And I noticed here in Santa Ana, California last week, 30 FBI agents went after people looking at underage girls on the internet. And I'm thinking, we're in the middle of an orange alert, and here they are going after naked pictures on the internet.
Wow.
There's got to be something better going on.
Paulo, tell us, when you were in South Africa, if I could, what was the occasion of you being there? Was it work or pleasure?
Yeah, I went there for work for a few months, and you'll meet a lot of people in Africa, Americans and Europeans. They go there for a month or two, and they end up staying there the rest of their lives. Mm. It's just a wonderful continent. And I will say this, my friends there that lived there during apartheid, they would get things in the mail from London about apartheid, and their houses would be raided. And that's where we're headed. We, in South Africa, four or five companies own everything and run everything, dictate the wages of the people, dictate what they're going to hear and see. And that's, when I lived there, I saw that's what Reagan was trying to do in America, and his vision is coming true. And the thing that you have to worry about is like Tom Likas. He was a liberal voice when Bush was being elected, and he was pulled off the air with Carol Hemingway months before the election.
No.
And I have to say that's I'm afraid for you in that sense.
Well, we haven't got any
Tom Likas, that nasty.
Well, Tom Likas, you know,
he had a political show.
Yeah, he used to do.
He used
to start his show by saying, you know, welcome to a show. It's something different, not run by a what do you say by a convicted
right-wing
felon?
Wacko or
right,
convicted felon.
Convicted felon. And he was like very liberal, very and then he turned it into a total sex show.
Yeah.
No, he had to. He was pulled off the air here just before the election. And there was no way to have that voice and be allowed to be on the air anymore.
Well, Paul.
And so he went the other direction with it.
This network, the IE America Radio Network, it is set up specifically to have voices like mine on it. So
you talk to Tom Likas, he is still that way. And he will.
Oh, I know.
He is, you know, he is one of those voices that would like to, but he's going after the money right now to secure his life.
Maybe I should do that. Thank you, Paul.
Don't look for this to be a sex show anytime soon.
No? Okay, but even if it meant making a lot of money?
No.
Okay, all right.
Maybe advice.
All right, we'll answer all your questions about sex and marriage. Here's Rand in Santa Fe. Listen to KTRC. Rand, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, Peter and Jalene.
Hi.
When I was in England a couple of weeks ago with visiting my sister, I saw a news piece on the state, one of the state television, BBC, and I'm sure it wasn't shown over here. The BBC person was going behind the lines, and he or she filmed a longish segment that consisted of some gigantic, buff, spotlessly uniform pressed, sort of MP-looking American guys setting up a photo op. A publicity photo op, I guess, for the war.
Okay.
And it consisted of a beautiful one-legged 12-year-old boy,
mm-hmm.
and these gigantic guys trying to get him to smile for the camera. And they kept saying, you're pretty happy, right?
Oh, boy.
And the boy looked baffled, and he shrugged, and he shook his head and pointed to his missing leg.
This is an Iraqi child?
An Iraqi child.
Yeah.
And they kept saying, yeah, but besides that, you're pretty happy, aren't you? And you watched as the boy finally dawned on the boy that these people were not friends. And the final segment was them standing next to him, almost as though holding him prisoner, while they all grinned at the camera, and the look on the boy's face was of violation.
Hmm.
And that convinced me more than anything else, as if I needed convincing, of the complete evil of this administration.
Sure. Well, in the New York Times today, there's a report on Colin Powell talking to Pope John Paul II and trying to convince him that the war in Iraq was, the Pope, of course, opposed it completely, that the war in Iraq was justifiable. Here's what Powell said. I hope the Holy Father will see that the people of Baghdad are liberated. And so he's completely dropped everything about weapons of mass destruction. But when you look right across the page, that's why I say that connecting the dots is pretty easy these days. It's a search for guns in Iraq and surprise under a robe. And the United States is busting into 2,000 homes in Baghdad, searching for illegal weapons. Now, the NRA would be happy about this. The United States has decided to let every Iraqi home have at least one AK-47. And but people are just feeling absolutely violated in the same way. Najin Abdullah said, what right do they have to get into the house? If some people have some weapons, does that give them the right to see every house in the city? And it talks about how wide the sweep was. The surprise sweep and nighttime arrest produced bitter complaints, and only a handful of weapons. Two clerics were arrested. It says over and over again, the dual realities that American forces face in Iraq appear. Now, this is interesting. Iraqis smile when in direct contact, but bitterly complained about the Americans as soon as they left. They repeatedly accused the United States of failing to bring democracy to Iraq. So this liberation, Rod Hadi, a baker, says, we know the Western countries have democracy and liberty. We want these things to be implemented in our country, but what we see around us, they are arresting our clerics. Then also, thousands of Iraqis protesting U.S. presence and the body searches of women. This is from Reuters.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Thousands of Iraqi Muslims marching through Baghdad today, threatening violence unless U.S. troops withdraw from the country and venting their anger over body searches of women in the capital. Cleric Ali Baghdadi said, it is unacceptable in Islam that a man searches the body of a woman. The American troops are doing that to our women. And this could be anywhere from Vietnam to inner cities of the United States. This is not liberation. This was a war that has caused such untold death and suffering, and it is all at the hands of George W. Bush and the creatures around him.
Yes, he is a major war criminal, and he has to be brought to justice.
Thank you, Rand.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Here is Nadine listening in Hawaii. She lived in Israel. Nadine, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Well, when I lived in Israel, I was 18. I went there to volunteer in the kibbutz for 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
It was 1984. And no, I never felt that much of a threat, even though I was living close to the line of control.
Now, how much, one of the things, and this is very interesting, but one of the things I'm also interested in is how big did the threat of terrorism play in one's daily life and in the media and from the politicians, because that's all we hear from U.S. politicians. And my contention is, even though there are always threats everywhere from cuckoos, this is being way overplayed and pumped out of proportion for political gain.
Well, this was 1984.
Okay.
This is well before the suicide bombings
yeah.
really started. But from I have family in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They say that the only times that it really has gotten really, really bad, it's been in the last 2 years.
Yeah, sure. Well, it has been.
But here is, you're right. Your gut feeling is correct in this. Every time I listen to them raising the threat level to orange, or whatever happens to the color, happens to be the color of the day. Hmm. I cannot help but think that a couple times they probably did it for the right reasons, but the rest of them, it has been too much of a coincidence when things are getting hot for the administration.
Sure, and I think you're even maybe too kind.
Yeah, but I'm willing to give them kind of the benefit of the doubt in the early days.
You can. I won't, but you're welcome to.
But here is where it really starts coming apart.
Yeah.
Okay, we raise the alert, and we tell the American people every time, it doesn't fail, we just ask you to continue living your normal life and pay attention to your surroundings. Hey, Mr. Secretary, John Q. Citizen here in the back, what am I looking for?
Yeah.
They have yet to tell the American people what they're looking for.
Be vigilant, they say.
Be vigilant, but keep on flying, keep on shopping.
But the things that people should be told that they're looking for, and these things are actually told to Israelis on a regular basis, are extremely basic.
Sure, but even still, the people, when they're determined, are able to carry out these attacks on civilians. So,
of course, but being vigilant in Israel has prevented some attacks. But that's because people know what they're looking for.
I don't know what I'm looking for. I just get on the plane and fly off.
Okay, what you're looking for. Why is it that in Israel, if you leave your bag unattended for 5 seconds at the airport, it will be taken away and blown apart?
Well, that's what they do here. I mean, that's true. They're pretty hard on that, fortunately.
Well, here I have the experience at the Honolulu airport where somebody left their bag for half an hour and they didn't do a damn thing.
Uh-oh.
Even though we told them. But
well, Nadine, you know, they're actually cutting back on funding for airport screeners, so there's going to be less screeners around. Yeah.
Of course. But that is one of the things that people should be looking for, abandoned bags at a mall. But they haven't told these things to people. There is another thing that initially happened around early 1980.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have postal boxes like we do in the United States where you can get fairly large packages in, which work great for pipe bombs when the kids decide to be Kyoto or for terrorists.
Yeah, I know. They've ended that, for instance, in a lot of those European countries as well.
I have yet to see that happen here.
Well, so far that hasn't been a problem. Nadine, I'm out of time for this segment, but I want to thank you for joining us from where? In Honolulu?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Call us again.
You're welcome. Bye.
All right, some people on hold. Please stay there, and we'll be back to get your calls in just a minute. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. We're asking you, do you think that this terrorism alert has been exaggerated? I say a big fat yes. I don't mean to say that we're never going to experience another terrorist attack, because for one thing, the more you emphasize your fear of it, the more it encourages people to do it. I think we just should have been, not you and me, but the people whose job it is to do that. Well, I'll talk more about it when we come back. You give us a call.
This message is brought to you from American Atlantic Financial Corporation. Doesn't it pique your interest to discover how profits could potentially be made in markets like sugar, coffee, gold, foreign currencies, grains, unleaded gasoline, heating oil? Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive a free video called Power, Performance, and Possibilities at no cost or obligation by just dialing toll-free 1-888-247-8400. That's 1-888-247-8400. 247-8400. American Atlantic Financial Corporation specializes in identifying undervalued opportunities and brings them to qualified investors. Call American Atlantic Financial Corporation and receive our latest recommendation. For your free investor's kit and video, call Power, Performance, and Possibilities. Call toll-free 1-888-247-8400. The call is free. The video is free by just dialing 1-888-247-8400. Futures and options involve significant risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was as straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steph and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steph and Wizards Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at IEAmericaRadio.com.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Tell us what's on your mind at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, Jillian Jordan. Welcome back to you as well.
Thank you.
You know, I was saying earlier that it's time to start, well, we've been saying it all along on this show, the L-word lie. That's what the Bush administration has done ever since it got into office. And suddenly it is appearing in the mainstream more and more regularly. And
About time.
Yeah. And particularly in this wonderful column by Paul Krugman, K-R-U-G, Paul Krugman. And he's written something called Standard Operating Procedure. I keep saying I am going to read sections of it, and I will eventually. But this from, yes, from Bob. He wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Sometimes, he says, we have to use the same techniques they use. As with the Nazis and many other movements, influence the public mind starts with picking a simple message and repeating it often.
Yeah.
Bush lied, he suggests. Bush killed hundreds of our boys, using his lie as the excuse. Bush should resign. Bush should be impeached. Well, those work, but I think
we'll try to keep that going. I don't think it'll be a problem.
No, I think, Jillian, if we are as polite as the Tom Daschle Democrats, forget it. We might as well just surrender.
That's true.
Yeah. Here's Rachel in Santa Fe listening to KTRC. Rachel, it's Peter Werby and Jillian Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi, Peter. Jolene.
Hi.
I lived in Israel for 10 years, Peter, mm-hmm. and my impression ever since this 9/11 thing has been the Americans have reacted very unreasonably. Rather than being the flexible, resilient society collectively that the Israelis are, we kind of have this paranoid, schizophrenic reaction here in the United States. And that's been very irritating, especially since, we've tended to focus a lot more on Arabs and Muslims, much more so than the Israelis do, even though their attackers are among them, that they really have a much more well-reasoned reaction that we have done. And within the context of this Republican regime, it seems very strange because the whole conservative orientation is normally towards prudence and well-thought-out reactions, which is not what our regime has done at all, Peter.
No, I know. And this intense focus on preventing terrorism as almost the reason for existing of the Bush government, that doesn't exist in Israel. They certainly have to be extraordinarily aware of daily danger.
But that's a practical implementation of the problems, that need to be solved, where we actually haven't had any of that happening here. We haven't had bombs in bus stations and malls, and we haven't had bombs going off where people get blown up.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we ever do get to that point, we'll have to respond, like I said, flexibly and reasonably, instead of having this basically paranoid, schizophrenic overreaction. So thank you for letting me speak, Peter.
Well, thank you for calling. Thanks for listening to KTRC in Santa Fe as well. Here's Dave in Cleveland, Ohio. Dave, it's Peter Werby and Jillian Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I had a hypothetical for you,
mm-hmm.
and I've been kicking this around in my own head. Now, we know that the conservatives, basically the best way that they can keep their little racket going is by fear.
Sure.
Keeping us in fear. I was wondering, now heaven forbid we have another attack on the U.S. on the scale of 9/11. Would this, if this did happen before the election, would this benefit George Bush, or would it hurt him?
Uh, That's an interesting question. I mean, I've thought about that. I don't think we can assume that there will not be other terrorist attacks. I mean, they got very lucky on the attack on September 11th. No one would have thought that the buildings would have collapsed. Certainly, it would have been deaths in the hundreds, and it would have been of great magnitude.
Right.
Nothing like this, like catastrophic. Also, someone, I can't remember the historian or the scientist who said that he has a bet that within the next 10 years there will be a bioterror or bio-error incident that will take a million lives. I said, "Phew, man, who knows what these people are capable of?" Well, thank you, Dave. We got to cut this one a little short. We got our little segment called Dollars and Cents. We'll make some sense of dollars when we come back on the Peter Werby Show.
Philip.
Constance.
Oh, Philip, I can't take this anymore. I want to be free.
You mean you want to be free of me, the kids, and the dirty laundry?
No.
Oh.
I want to be free of overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
Darling, that means Freelax.
What's so different about Freelax?
It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
If I take Freelax tonight, I'll get relief before the kids start fighting over breakfast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives, laxative. Use only as directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on IE America Radio Network. For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
It's another Black Tuesday in France as much of the country's commerce and education grinds to a halt for the second time in less than a month. Widespread strikes began today. Air traffic controllers, dock workers, train and bus drivers, teachers, journalists, utility workers, and some government employees have taken to the streets again as France's National Assembly begins debate on reforms to the country's public pension system, which would extend the retirement age. The government made a last-ditch effort Monday to stave off the strikes by agreeing to delay implementation of the reforms until the fall, but the protesting unions say the proposal must either be scrapped or the labor unrest will continue.
A pair of proposed changes to the Fair Labor Standards Act have labor organizations wondering if the 40-hour work week is about to become a thing of the past. Under pressure from the Bush administration, the Labor Department may soon reclassify millions of American workers as exempt from overtime pay. Meanwhile, a bill before the House of Representatives this week would allow employers to substitute time and a half pay with paid vacations, compensation which would come as many as 13 months after an employee works an overtime shift.
One of the purposes that premium pay for overtime serves is to encourage employers not to make people work overtime.
David Cohen is an assistant to the president of the Department of Professional Employees. He says changes to the country's 60-year-old overtime rules could spell the end of the 5-day work week.
Politicians who talk about family values need to leave people a little time with their families to transmit those values.
The House votes on changes to overtime laws this Thursday. Meanwhile, the Labor Department will close a public comment period at the end of June and could roll back overtime eligibility by the end of the summer.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
It's time for Dollars and Cents with Peter Werby, making sense out of finance, money, and the economy. Call Peter now with your questions at 1-800-TALK-YES. Now, here's Peter.
Thank you very much and welcome. Yeah, this is going to be a regular segment. Is this our first or second time we've done this? Anyways, dollars and cents, S-E-N-S-E, and that's a complete steal. There is a wonderful magazine caught with that name, and I think you can go to dollars and cents, S-E-N-S-E.org. In fact, maybe I should clear it with them at some point. Joining us today is Chris Hartman, and Chris Hartman is the research director for United for a Fair Economy, and he's been a guest on the show any number of times. Chris, welcome back.
Hey, Peter. Good to be with you.
Well, listen, I know what you're going to say about this tax bill, but it's working. All these jobs have been created. Look, oh, no, wait a minute. FedEx has laid off 14,000 people. I thought they had just hired 14,000 people. Well, the tax bill, the tax reform, as they dare to call it, is now reality. And I just don't even know where to go from here on it. This is what Paul Krugman calls in today's New York Times simply a lie, that it's going to help the economy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The administration's been lying about economics since before they took office, and this is just another example. And as Krugman pointed out, they lie about a lot of things, so why would we expect anything to be different when it comes to tax policy?
Chris, let's settle one thing first. How do you pronounce the name of the man whose column we're talking about?
Good question. I've heard Krugman and I've heard Krugman.
Yes. I was talking with Scott Ritter, the UN weapons inspector, today, and I said Krugman, and he repeated it back and said Krugman, whereas Danny Schechter from MediaChannels.org was a guest, and he referred to him as Krugman. We got to call this man. He'll think we want to talk to him about the economy.
We just went to deal on the name.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about this tax bill. We hear all these wonderful things about it, that that the average person is going to have their taxes reduced. This is out of the Bush regime, by $1,000. And then we hear from United for a Fair Economy and Citizens for Tax Justice that it's going to be peanuts to most people. It's the old thing about figures don't lie, but liars can figure. Mm-hmm. How do we make sense of what's going on?
Well, anytime you see anybody, left or right, using averages when it comes to economics, you need to assume that they're trying to spin you.
Ah.
Because an average is very misleading. When you have such a huge gap in wealth and income in the United States, average is basically meaningless.
So, in other words, if the average between your salary, my salary, and Bill Gates,
yep,
is considerable.
Is a lot, but doesn't make us all millionaires.
That's right.
The way I usually say it is that Hank Aaron and I each have an average of 365 home runs or so.
Okay.
In the major leagues. But it turns out he hit 755, I guess, and I hit zero. And so that's exactly what the Bush administration did with their $1,000 average. The reason that it's $1,000 is that a few hundred thousand millionaires are going to get $100,000 per year, and 8 million families are going to get zero. So,
well, I remember seeing a comic strip one time in the panel that sticks out of my mind. This woman saying, "Professor, how much longer can this illusion last? If you're promised this great tax break and nothing comes forward, well." Isn't it going to dawn on people that we've been had at some point?
Well, probably, but it'll probably be too late. It's unclear. One thing about the federal tax system is that there's not a real bite that happens to people because the government just goes deeper into deficit spending. And so services aren't cut immediately. This is a difference with what's happening at the state level where, services are actually getting cut. Schools are closing early. People are beginning to notice the disastrous effects of the huge tax cuts for the wealthy at the state level during the 1990s. But there's no telling how long this can continue at the federal level because we're just running up larger deficits that will eventually have to be paid back, apparently by the next generation of Americans. I guess that's who it's getting passed on to. So it's a real lack of leadership and lack of responsibility by our leaders who are supposed to be thinking long-term. You know, most of us are faced with day-to-day economic struggles and trying to feed our families and keep our jobs. It's supposedly the jobs of our elected leaders to think about the next two and three generations, and they have completely abdicated that responsibility, unfortunately.
Now, you have these millionaires running the government. We actually have in the old-fashioned 100-year-old phrase from 100 years ago, plutocracy, the rule of the rich going on, and an extraordinarily wealthy man like Dick Cheney. I think his worth is almost up towards 90 million. Bush worth millions, stands to inherit tens of millions. And yet their experience in business has not always been very good. In fact, they've left a lot of wreckage in their business careers. On one hand, maybe we shouldn't, just on the face of that, shouldn't have confidence in their ability to manage the economy. On the other hand, when you look, like, for instance, at a Paul Krugman column from a few days ago, he quotes the Financial Times, this very stodgy old line business paper in England, that says the lunatics are now in charge of the asylum, talking about the United States. And he says that, for one thing, that this official price tag of this tax bill, $320 billion, is a joke. And they say it's really going to be up near $800 billion. Is that the way your figures look at United for a Fair Economy?
Well, sure. I mean, it's only $320 billion in the sense that if you go to Best Buy and buy a stereo and don't have to make any payments until next June, that the stereo is free. I mean, we eventually those tax cuts are going to be made permanent, and we'll be asked to pay for them, those of us who aren't getting them, in the form of bigger deficits, which are going to lead to higher interest rates and higher taxes at some point have to kick in. You know, the idea behind this tax cutting is that it will somehow jumpstart the economy, and eventually more tax revenue will be coming in. Has never worked. It's never worked that way. The only way we got out of the deficits from the Reagan era was, surprise, surprise, raising taxes on the wealthy in the early 90s. That's how we got out of it. We also cut defense spending quite a bit. Those are the two main reasons.
Well, it would make sense to do that now, cut defense spending. Actually, now it's very clearly war spending.
Right.
And put the tax burden on the people that can actually afford it, the wealthy. The middle class of this country can't. The working class of this country can. Certainly the working poor can't. I mean, people making, they're talking now this figure about people making between $10,000 and $500 a year. Imagine working all year and coming home with $10,500. In the wealthiest country in the world, I mean, that's shameful and injurious to millions of people in this country and families. These people that talk about family values, that's as far as their commitment to family values goes, talking about it. I mean, no one would allow a person to make that kind of pittance in the wealthiest country in the world unless they were just trying to blow smoke up our, can't say it. Yeah.
Well, there's a shadow agenda behind all of this.
Okay.
That I think it's important to know about, and that is that this tax cutting agenda is being run by people like Grover Norquist, who runs a group that you probably never heard of called Americans for Tax Reform, and they hate government. They hate everything about it. They hate Social Security. They hate Medicare. They hate the idea that some old person out there might be able to look forward to a retirement where they didn't have to work. That drives them crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to get rid of all of that stuff. And the way that they figured out to do it, they know that they can't take it to the American people and say, shall we get rid of Social Security? No. Of course, the answer would be no. We like Social Security. So the way that they're going about it is to cut taxes on the wealthy. They're going to starve the government of tax revenue, create huge deficits, so that the only possible response, they hope, will be to cut some of these programs that everybody loves, except for a very small percentage of people who are ideologically motivated against it, and also people, rich people mostly, who don't want to pay taxes because they feel, I guess, impoverished, that they're just not quite rich enough. They need to be a little bit richer.
Now, actually, the Financial Times, again, a very conservative English publication, says, quoted in Krugman's column, proposing to slash federal spending, particularly on social programs, is a tricky electoral proposition, but a fiscal crisis offers the tantalizing prospect of forcing such cuts through the back door. And we're looking here at these manipulators, this small, almost infinitesimally small section of the American population that are either completely complete psycho wackos like Grover Nordquist and his pals, or acting in behalf of the already ultra wealthy, and that maybe they're all psychos up there, because why, if you're ultra wealthy, why do you want to squeeze the little guy and gal? I don't get it at all. I mean,
well, I don't understand it either. I mean, I do try to think about, you know, this. It's certainly not related to any feeling of deprivation or, you know, I need more money in order to do the things I want to do, because they already have more than 99.999% of human beings have ever had. So you just have to wonder, why are they so intent on getting even more? And, you know, I think a psychological problem may be part of the deal. I know some sort of sickness, possibly in wine or champagne that they're drinking.
Well,
maybe when I get the FDA to look into this.
Well, I was going to say, Chris Hartman is the research director of United for a Fair Economy. You usually can't go as far as a disreputable talk show host like myself will say that they're a pack of psychos. All right. This is the dollar and cents section of the Peter Werbe Show. We have actually somebody wants to ask a question. It's Jeff from Denver. Jeff, it's Peter Werbe and Chris Hartman. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. And welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks. Chris, you mentioned the deficit figure, and I was wondering if that, a few months ago, Mitch Daniels got confronted by Fritz Hollings and said that they left off $262 billion in money that was actually being borrowed from other parts of the government, from Social Security and such. I was wondering if your figures include that, because that's, you know, on recording at Fritz Hollings' site, and everybody seems to be neglecting that we got that admission from Mitch Daniels.
Yeah. You know, it's difficult to keep track of all of the distortions and lies and mendacity that's coming out of the administration. No, I don't think we did include that admission by Mitch Daniels. You know, they have not shown any interest in any kind of verification or willingness to work with real numbers at that administration. They don't really hire economists in the sense of people who are motivated mostly by a commitment to the truth or even to the best policy outcomes. It's a completely politically driven economics policymaking office in a way that was not true during the Clinton administration.
So even the deficit you're saying could even be a third higher with just that extra $262 billion.
Yes, it could be a third higher, but even a third higher than a bogus number.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all pretty much completely bogus as far as I can tell. The CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, is the government agency that is officially charged with coming up with these numbers. But it's important to note that they have to use constraints that are given to them by the Congress. So one thing that they, for example, could not do is figure out how big the deficit would be if the Iraq situation were to continue for the decade. They couldn't put that into their official predictions, which is, you know, doesn't even approach an approximation of, mm-hmm. of what we need to be talking about. So the numbers that appear in the media, the $350 billion limit that was talked about before this last tax cut, are at best a distraction. From the real deal, and the administration loves it because there's a lot of attention on who's going to hold firm on $350 billion, who's going to go above. Or meanwhile, the shadow agenda of dismantling the federal government continues, and that's really the goal.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that I was struck by that. They were saying, boy, these Democrats were playing such hardball. They said they were going to only, you know,
yeah.
they weren't going to go for a complete reversal of tax on dividends or, you know, what did they initially want? $500 billion? That was the figure. But you're right. These figures are all phantoms.
Yeah.
And there's an agenda here that is going to be extraordinarily toxic to the body politic. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that with the back and forth of figures, they lure the Democrats into thinking that they've really got something, you know, by limiting it from taking it all the way from $726 billion tax cut, which was Bush's original number, all the way down to $320 billion. Wow, what a victory.
Mm-hmm.
It's it's basically as it's about as meaningful to the budget situation or to the tax fairness situation as if they were playing a game of hearts. I mean, it's just numbers, and it's only tangentially related to reality. And I really wish that that the opposition party, the Democrats, would forget about these number-based negotiations. And
Which one? Oh, the Democrats.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
The nominally opposition party.
I missed it there. Well, one of the things that's come out, let me see, we only got a little bit of time left, was the fact that this tax law would exclude about 8 million, mostly low-income taxpayers, exclude 12 million children, and suddenly, is it Grassley, Senator Grassley, says, oh, we'll put it back. Maybe we'll have a few more billion dollars in tax cut. I mean, this is extraordinarily cynical. We just have about 60 seconds. Is this going to appear? I mean, are the low-income taxpayers actually going to see anything?
Well, Grassley says he's going to take care of them. I wouldn't take it for granted, though. I think it's still worth a call to your senator.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know that you expect them to, you know, instead of adding it, why not just take it off the top of the dividend tax cut? You know, keep your number at $320 billion or whatever it is. And let's do it right. Let's take that $3.5 billion that it would take to fix it from the dividend tax break recipients. Not adding it on for our children and grandchildren to pay for.
Sure. Thank you, Chris Hardman. Chris Hardman is research director for United for a Fair Economy, a guest on our Dollars and Cents segment of the Peter Werbe Show. Remind us again how we can reach you online, Chris.
Yes, we're on the web at fair economy.com.
What a concept.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Peter.
I appreciate it.
You too.
And this is a segment we'll do every single Tuesday at 3:30, and that's Eastern Time. Of course, you can do the math around the world as you listen on the World Wide Web. By the way, my website is a good place always to start, figure out. You can get archive shows there. You can, if you're having trouble getting on IEAmericaRadio.com, we've got some alternate way to enter the stream at radiopower.org. Listener websites are there as well. So it's Peter Werbe, PeterWerbe.com.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it?
You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
So, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when? Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risks.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll-free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
John, there's
something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably a few more years
I'm talking about now, like the tread on a tire. Well, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to Nebraska.
How you doing? We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys are having way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
And welcome back, Jalene Jordan, as well.
Thank you, Peter.
Suddenly, the big L word, lie, is everywhere when describing the Bush administration. We've been quoting some from the Paul Krugman column today. I said it's been sent to me probably more than any article since I've started doing this job almost 3 years ago. He says, even as George Bush stunned reporters by declaring that, quote, we have found the weapons of mass destruction, the Republican National Committee declared that the latest tax cut benefits everyone who pays taxes. Krugman says that is simply a lie. Dennis Kucinich, candidate for president, says this administration led this nation into a war based on lies. Say that word. It's not spin. It's not what are some of the other words that they say, exaggeration or anything like that. It was a purposeful lie to fool the world and to fool the American people. Most of the world wasn't fooled, and I would say a good percentage of the American people weren't fooled either. But once the war began, things changed a little. Now it's just a morass. It's a swamp. Let's go to Mark in Dallas. Mark, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, just a quick side thing here. Yesterday I was listening to one of your trailers. I know you're a big rocker, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard AC/DC's Back in Black on record instead of a CD?
Probably. I was playing it when CDs didn't exist, yeah.
Well, okay. Man, on my turntable, it screams.
Really?
Something else. I just had to get that in because a lot of people think that CDs are better than records.
Oh, hey, all right.
Okay, well.
Rock on,
rock out. All right.
There you go. Anyway, the reason I called is I wanted to make a...
I'm sorry, I thought that was it. Go ahead.
No. I wanted to make a positive suggestion.
Sure.
It strikes me
in watching the Bush administration unfold in the last 2 years, that the right-wingers are hard to deal with in terms of talking about the issues rationally. And what strikes me is that I think that these people are in denial to some extent. So my suggestion is this, is maybe it would be positive for you and some other of the hosts on the iAmerica Radio Network to start booking guests that talk about the psychology of denial. Because maybe if we understood more about the psychology of denial, we'd have a better way to get into these people's brains.
Well, I think you could be right. You know, I often talk about that they're in a polemic against reality. The listeners, like, for instance, the right-wing talk radio, they're in this polemic against reality. And that's why they depend on these right-wing freaks, these right-wing wackos, to give them ammunition and say, now, wait a minute, this doesn't make a bit of sense. But then they just turn it on, and there's Rush or Hannity, and they go, oh, okay, I'm saved from having to face reality. All right, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, we'll be right back. You call us at 1-800-TALK-YES.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Jalene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. Convictions have been returned against 3 of 4 Arab immigrants accused of being part of a Detroit terror sleeper cell. 2 of the 3 were convicted of conspiracy to support terrorism. The 3rd was convicted on a lesser charge, and a 4th man was acquitted. Today's verdict brings an end to the nation's first terror-related trial since the 9/11 attacks. After meeting with President Bush, Arab leaders have issued a statement vowing to crack down on terrorists and support a roadmap to peace.
President Bush says there is potential for a Palestinian state and for Mideast peace.
Achieving these goals will require courage and moral vision on every side from every leader. America is committed, and I am committed, to helping all the parties to reach the hard and heroic decisions that will lead to peace.
The Arab nations say they will send funding through the Palestinian Authority and will help fight terrorism. The official statement also did not explicitly name Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas. The U.S. wants the Arab leaders to help elevate Mr. Abbas at the expense of Palestinian President Yasser Arafat. Laura Iyama, Washington.
Serial bombing suspect Eric Robert Rudolph is in a Birmingham, Alabama court today following his arrest in North Carolina this weekend. The former fugitive is wanted in connection with the 1998 bombing of a women's health clinic. The U.S. Attorney's Office in New York City is conducting an investigation into Martha Stewart.
Celebrity homemaker Martha Stewart could face a criminal indictment as a result of a federal probe. St. John's University professor Anthony Sabino says the possible indictment could, to some effect, restore investor confidence.
We cannot afford to give the appearance that because of who she is and who she knows, that she can get away with it. That would send a very disturbing message to Wall Street and would wreck any progress we've made in terms of restoring confidence in the truthfulness of American business.
Shares in Stewart's company was sharply lower after news of the federal probe. Sabino says although Stewart may be in hot water, her line of homemaking goods could see some popularity. He says her media attention and notoriety could boost sales. Mike Giuliano, New York.
More in a moment.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor, because a simple blood test can detect the problem, and with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
The Energy Information Administration says gasoline prices may jump if inventories continue to fall. Gas demand leading up to the Memorial Day holiday reached the highest weekly average since last November, but officials said at the same time inventories fell 3.4 million barrels from the previous week. U.S. gas inventories are down 13.2 million barrels, or about 6% less from a year ago. More news after this.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used
The assistant district attorney in Stanislaus County, California, says his office will file opposition papers tomorrow surrounding several issues in the murder case involving Scott Peterson. Defense lawyers have asked that specific prosecutors be removed from the case. Peterson is charged in the murders of his wife, Lacey, and the couple's unborn son. Interest rates may be lowered again to guard against deflation. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan today said that the monetary policymakers are more concerned about deflation than inflation. He added that there are indications that the U.S. economy is stabilizing, but it's too early to get a good sense of how soon it will pick up speed. However, the chairman did not close the door on an interest rate cut when the committee meets next week to discuss policy. Interest rates have already been sliced a dozen times over the last few years. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Petri dishes, grandma's parlor, and well-used tennis shoes. All breeding grounds for yucky mold. Don't wrinkle your nose, because you've got one, too, in your car. When we come back, I'll tell you where.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
Your car's heater and air conditioner provide the perfect breeding ground for smelly mold and mildew. Here's a tip to eliminate these odors. Disconnect the AC compressor before starting your car in the morning. Set the emergency brake and crank your engine. Run your AC on max and in the recirculation mode. Then spray a small can of Lysol in the passenger's foot area behind the glove compartment. Let dry 1 hour and reconnect the compressor. Voila! A car that will smell fresher all season. Now for those tennis shoes. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, everybody. Peter Werby here with you. Jalene Jordan as well. Hi, Jalene.
Hello, Peter.
And we're open line all this hour, so do join us. 1-800-TALK-YES. We're uttering the big L word, lie, and lies. That's what the Bush administration has made essentially the hallmark of its regime. And I think this is all starting to cave in on them. The emperor has no clothes. The house of cards is beginning to collapse, and well that it should. And I don't know, Jalene, why I all of a sudden had this feeling. I mean, someone can call me in a week or a month or in 4 or 5 months and say, I thought the Bush administration was going down the tubes, Pete. Doesn't look like it, huh? So we'll see. But I'm saying that we ought to start taking some heart, is that you cannot fool all the people all the time. You cannot fool all of us all the time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And I think that one of the telltale signs, unfortunately, the state of things in the medium, but it is getting into some of these mainstream sources and getting out to more people.
Mm-hmm. There's a very interesting article that came across in Reuters. Lawmaker seeks videotape of Jessica Lynch rescue. You may remember Jessica Lynch was the private who was rescued. Or was she? That's the question.
You know, it's so funny, speaking about the people who can be fooled or the people who aren't as connected, you know, I mean busy lives and everything like that. Someone said to me yesterday, you know, did you hear about that Jessica Lynch that they tried to return her? And I just thought, yeah, I was talking about that how much, you know, a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things now that's come out from Dennis Kucinich, a Democratic presidential candidate, he's called on the Defense Department today to release the unedited footage of the rescue of Private Jessica Lynch from an Iraqi hospital to answer questions about her injuries. The Cleveland congressman said, noting the administration has, nothing the administration has said about Private Lynch has been verified by private news reports. And we've been talking on this broadcast how this is just another one of these stage-managed photo ops that have been manipulated purposely to play with the minds of the American people to make them think reality is something different other than it is. Remember, you know, we were talking with Scott Ritter, the weapons inspector from the United Nations, in the first hour, and we were talking about threats from Iraq. And people, I guess no one is, everyone's too polite to mention that Bush actually said, remember there were those unmanned aerial drones.
Yes.
Yeah, that were going to drop chemical weapons on us. I mean, this not only was a lie, it was a preposterous lie.
Yeah, it really was. And remember, we joked about it.
We hooted
it. Okay. Yeah, something that, how far does it actually go?
50 miles.
50 miles, and one of the main, materials is balsa wood.
Yeah. But you remember the way they got around that? They said, there's these ships from Iraq that are circling the globe filled with chemical weapons that have these drones on board. So where are the ships, Republicans?
Yeah.
I mean,
Tough to find a ship.
Hey, it's not too easy to find a conservative or a Republican anymore, is it?
What?
Well, no, I mean, where are they? Where are they calling up? I mean, why aren't they calling up 1-800-TALK-YES and saying, no, he's not lying. There really are weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, that'd be great. I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder what they have to say about this. I have to believe. Remember, we were talking right before the break about how these Republicans are and these conservatives are in a polemic against reality, and they depend on these multimillionaire paid talk show host liars. And these psychos, and some of them are both, and some of them are convicted felons, proving that crime pays if you're a right-winger,
right.
To give them ammunition. Because like everybody in the world is saying, there's no justification present for having violated international law, committing a crime against peace, occupying another country, watching it steadily go down the drain with demonstrations daily with thousands of people in Baghdad and Basra and other cities chanting, down, down America, down, down Saddam, U.S. out.
Yeah.
So what do they do? Well, you better tune into Sean Hannity. He'll tell them why there actually really are weapons of mass destruction, even though there's not.
Sean Hannity can do that on a daily basis. He probably does, huh?
They are magic. And I'm looking. Actually, my computer crashed, but I had up here. Something from a Marine that I can't find it
a
real
Marine
quick.
A Marine came out and publicly said that there are no weapons of mass destruction,
yeah.
Right?
Right. How did you know that? It's all over the news.
It's because I'm a great producer.
You know, aren't you in the running for Producer of the Year?
I am.
Yes.
I'm really shooting for it, Peter.
Okay, I think you got a damn good chance.
Thank you.
Here it is. Edgar in Tucson sent this in. This article is posted at smirkingchimp.com. Yeah, we just let another one of the things we just let hang, right? Smirkingchimp.com. The quote is from Lieutenant General Conway from the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, and is damning to the administration. And this is actually from a column by Robert Scheer in the Los Angeles Times, so it's there as well. Leave it to a Marine to be blunt when Lieutenant General James Conway, commander of the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, was asked Friday why his Marines failed to encounter or uncover any of the weapons of mass destruction that U.S. intelligence had warned them about. His honesty put the White House to shame. "We were simply wrong," General Conway said. "It was a surprise to me then, and it remains a surprise to me now, that we have not uncovered nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons in Iraq." And he added, "Believe me, it's not for lack of trying." "We've been to virtually every ammunition supply point between the Kuwait border and Baghdad. They are simply not there."
So,
Republicans.
What happens now?
Yeah. So the president, Colin Powell, Dick Cheney, Ari Fleischer, every one of those hacks and flacks is a bald-faced liar.
So that means they'll all get their own talk shows.
Yes.
And make millions more.
Yeah, that's right. You know, they never really have to worry, do they, about getting turned out of office. They never have to worry about being convicted. They never have to worry about anything because they always land on their feet. How did Colin Powell, for instance, start as a general and now is a multimillionaire?
Yeah, that's...
Hello?
It's very curious.
Yeah. Now, I mean, he's part of the military-industrial complex, so there's this revolving door where as soon as he left the service, they said, "How'd you like to be on our board of directors? And we'll, you know, get us some contracts there with the military."
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that goes down like that. Let's see. Robert Scheer continues, "Now that the imminent threat posed by Iraq chemical or biological weapons has turned out to not be so imminent, the question is, did our gazillion-dollar spy operation blow the call, or was the dope they developed distorted or exaggerated by our political leaders?" Well, to ask it, dear friends, is to answer it.
Yes, that's true. That's true. So I wonder if now he will be leaving Iraq and they'll have someone new in there speaking.
Yeah,
that seems to be the mode.
He's another one of the man behind the curtain. Don't pay any attention to the man behind the curtain. But and I wonder, I mean, Republicans are conservatives. What do you say? Is this all a lie or is it okay? Okay, well, maybe they did make it up, but they liberated Iraq. They did. Now they got rid of a terrible dictator. Look at all those mass graves that were created because Bush's father allowed the slaughter to occur. He's complicit in every slaughter gravesite you see.
Hmm.
It's like that.
To have that blood on your hands.
Let's go to John in Long Beach, California. John, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK. Yes, welcome.
Good morning, Peter. Jalene, how are you doing?
Hi.
Listen, there's a few things here I want to go over that I feel that if we're going to ever have a hope of having a better country, these are a few things that's going to have to be changed.
Sure.
First one is the person who has got to be taken away from corporations.
Wait, what has to be taken away?
Personhood.
Oh, personhood. This is what Tom Hartman says on the IE America Radio Network. Yeah, they ain't people and they don't deserve constitutional protection.
Exactly. That's got to be taken care of. Voting machine rules have to be changed so that you know exactly who you're voting for.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen, of course. They're going to have it all those touch screens with no paper record. And, hey, he won again. I know.
Well, they've already been involved in fraud already. But they can set those up so they could give you a printed receipt to show who and what you voted for. That's got to be done.
Absolutely.
Another thing is that all writers on bills before the House have to be limited only to what the bill is about.
Okay. You know, this all looks familiar. Are you getting this from some source or out of your own head?
Out of my own head, mostly.
Okay. Well, genius runs in, you know, pairs or something. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
And let me see. Was that? The FCC rules, they have to be not only rescinded, but go back to the time when the corporations or anybody was limited to what they could own in the media.
Yeah, remember, John, before the 1996 Telecommunications Act, there was also the Fairness Doctrine. And one of the and also remember how they split up the bells because they said this was a monopoly. Clear Channel groupings like that ought to be split up.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember or not, but it seems to me, and Tom Likas had talked about this when he used to be doing what he should be doing now, that if you bought a radio station, you had to keep it. It was either for 3 years or 5 years, one or the other, before you could put it on the block.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a bad idea.
No, not at all. Well, thank you for all the suggestions.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Bye. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Actually, we were talking about Tom Likas, the national talk show host. He used to have a very liberal talk show, and now he just does all kind of goofy sex talk. You ever hear that, Jolene?
Oh, it's ridiculous. And then you go on the website and look at him, and you're like, ugh,
well, you know,
you repulse me.
he fascinates me with with the bad information and advice that he gives to guys on how to treat women.
Yes, that Peter, I couldn't even listen when he was on the air.
No, he was terrible. He advises men to do everything they can to lower women's self-esteem.
Yes.
And, you know, but you got to remember, he's very successful at relationships. He's had lots of them. He's been married 4 times. That moron's probably following his own advice.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's what Kurt in Dana Point, California writes into Call Talk Yes about. Call Talk Yes at yahoo.com. I'm in L.A. listening on the internet. Used to listen to Tom Likas before he was syndicated and loved his liberal point of view. He would have been all over Bush normally, but he has a completely different show now.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the L.A. Dean of Talk and the true liberal voice of reason, Michael Jackson, not the Michael Jackson, by the way, but this is a talk show host who's had that name longer than the member of the Jackson 5, is now without a microphone. Imagine that. And the station he was on last December is owned by Clear Channel Communications.
Hey, you know what I found out last night? That Clear Channel carries the Randy Rhoads show down here in Florida.
They do.
You know, she's that liberal chick, you know, and she's great. She's got a really a big cult following.
Mm-hmm, she does in Palm Springs Beach.
Palm Beach.
Yeah.
Just up north. Well, I was talking to a guy from that group and when I was at the concert last night, and I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe Randy Rhoads was on. And then, you know, I was told by several people that Clear Channel, you know, like I said before, they're not dumb, and they are really looking into doing some liberal radio.
Well, you know, I said at one time they'll probably put on Tom Daschle types to make sure that it fails, but Randy Rhoads isn't like that, and given their experience, who knows? Hey, I see where our segment's at an end. Let me just read this real quickly from Glenn from Arlington, Virginia. He says, thought I'd ask you what you'd say in response to people when you've just informed them of Bush's desertion of the armed forces, and they say, yeah, but Clinton was a draft dodger, and that was never reported by the media either. Just curious. So he's asking for advice. We'll talk about that when we come back. Good. If you have some suggestions, 1-800-TALK-YES. Clinton was a draft dodger, but that was never reported by the media either. Well, we'll talk about this when we come back. 1-800-TALK-YES, Peter Werby and Jolene Jordan.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Woody Allen said, I believe there's something out there watching over us. Unfortunately, it's the government.
More specifically, it's TIA, the Total Information Awareness Surveillance System, being run by John Poindexter. He's the infamous felon who was convicted of lying to Congress about his illegal role in the Iran-Contra scandal. Full of arrogance, he even declared that it was his, quote, duty to lie. Now, Poindexter is back as the Dr. Strangelove of the Pentagon. TIA is a new super snooper agency that's creating a massive computerized network that can electronically snoop through the millions of personal transactions that we make daily, compiling secret profiles about our actions and storing all of this in what they call, quote, a virtual centralized grand database. It's Big Brother incarnate. In addition to all of our financial, medical, and other private data, TIA also wants to collect a database of our personal identifying characteristics, not only including fingerprints, but also a new bit of personal data, the way we walk. Orwell would love this. It seems that we all have unique movements as we walk, what the surveillance industry calls gait signatures. So, with Pentagon funding, researchers at Georgia Tech are using radar, video, and computers to develop a system that will let Poindexter's TIA record and store in its grand database our individual gaits. Yet another way for Big Brother to keep watch over us. Of course, Poindexter asserts that this is all about chasing terrorists and that we innocent citizens should have no concern that we might end up in his computer. But wait a minute. How do they define terrorist? And isn't this the guy who says it's his duty to lie to us? This is Jim Hightower saying, to stop this latest Strangelovian intrusion into our privacy, call the Electronic Privacy Information Center, 202-483-1140.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much with Jalene Jordan. And we are talking about lies, finally getting that word, the correct description of the Bush administration. The big lie out into the mainstream is beginning to appear more and more. Dennis Kucinich just saying today that the administration has led this nation into war based on lies. And Paul Krugman in the New York Times saying simply this is a lie. No more spin, manipulation, distortion, anything like that. We are living under the most mendacious administration that has ever made it into the White House. Certainly wasn't elected into there. They're a pack of liars. Now, Glenn from Arlington, Virginia, wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com, said, "Hi, Peter. I thought I'd ask you what you say in response to people when you've just informed them of Bush's desertion of the armed forces. Remember, he scammed his way into the Texas Air National Guard. He skipped over all of these other people who are waiting in line, probably condemning at least one of them to at least battle in Vietnam. Who knows what other consequence? But this is what rich kids could do, and with influence. Go to awolbush.com for confirmation of that. But Glenn said." That when he tells people that Bush was a deserter, they say, yeah, but Clinton was a draft dodger, and that was never reported by the media either. He's wondering what we would say. Well, Bill from Seattle writes into Call Talk, yes, at yahoo.com. What? Geez, seems like I've heard this BS night and day. Not reported. I can't cite anything directly, but I'd challenge that one. Let's see what Frank in Midtown Manhattan has to say. Frank, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Good.
Hi, Julie.
Hi.
First of all, just to touch base on what you're talking about now, Clinton got a deferment, mm-hmm. a school deferment. Bush got a favor. He got bumped up the ranks so he could fly over Austin, Texas. But besides that, I wanted to talk about the Randy Rhodes issue.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's remind people, because sometimes people just join us. Randy Rhodes is a talk show host in West Palm Beach, Florida. She's very liberal, and she's on a Clear Channel station. She is right. Not syndicated,
exactly.
However. Yeah, go ahead.
And guess what? And she blows Rush Limbaugh away in that market down in Palm
really?
Beach.
Yeah.
God,
now,
great.
They approached her and wanted to syndicate her. Fat Boy got heard of it and flipped out. Threatened to cancel the contract with Clear Channel if they would attempt to do that. Hmm. It would have been a slap in his face because he also transmits in the same area.
Sure.
His show is situated down in that area of Florida.
Hmm. Yeah.
So it goes to show you about the way Rush Limbaugh wants. He wants everything rigged.
Yeah, well, Frank, let me tell you. Well, one thing, none of those guys have particularly good ratings. We've talked about this before. When they talk about shares, and anything over a 4 share is good. And Rush Limbaugh, at best, usually has like in the 3.2s, 3.3s, but very frequently into the 2s. Somebody like Michael Savage has in the 1s. Bill O'Reilly just, is like a fat 0. He is paying people to air his show. But
yeah, he's off the radar.
Yeah, but what happens, Frank, if you put any of these right-wing freaks on 600 markets or 200 or 300 markets, that adds up into hundreds of thousands, millions of listeners.
Yeah, that's why he can boast 20 million listeners a week.
Now here's something. I've actually said this a couple of times, but I'm in a new time slot, so maybe I can repeat some of my old stories once again. If I had a station, I mean, wouldn't it make sense if somebody from the IE America Radio Network had a show in New York, a very liberal town?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, Detroit's a very liberal town, too. The whole state voted for Gore. The two senators voted against the war resolution, on and on and on like that.
We're 5-3 here, Democratic, in New York, 5 million versus 3 million, and we do not have a voice,
now,
Peter.
Well,
not one voice up here.
If I came to New York, no one would know who the hell I was. I would say I would fight like hell for ratings, but I think I could do pretty well there.
Think you would.
Well, I would think. That's the operating word. In Detroit, Rush Limbaugh is on WJR, which is what is that? Do you know who owns that, Jalene, in Detroit? Anyways.
No, I don't. But I think, isn't he on all Clear Channel stations?
Yeah, I mean, he's
on all of them.
If I was on that station or on a similar, I'm not even on in my hometown, I would blow Rush Limbaugh away. Because I've been in this town. Yeah, I've been in this town for 30 years. But it is all pure and simple political discrimination. Hey, Frank, I hear our music. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. Well, Jalene, maybe that answered it. We were talking about what would someone say to someone who said, about Bush and Clinton and the draft. A little more on that when we come back, though. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan.
You want your son to be a doctor, so you've got to get him to his SAT course on time. You probably want to whip up something quick for dinner. Think fast. Think eggs, like a microwave egg casserole with ham and cheese. It's delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So your son makes it to his course, gets into med school, and you get free medical care for the rest of your life. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
Microscopic plants in Arctic lakes show signs of a warmer climate. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The remains of tiny plants at the bottom of lakes in northern Canada show a steady transition to species that are suited to warmer and warmer water. John Small says the remains of these plants are a clear sign that the northern latitudes have grown warmer over the past 200 years. Small is a biologist at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. He studied sediment samples from 50 lakes in Canada's Northwest Territories to find remains of plants called diatoms. Diatoms are a form of algae, and they use minerals in the water to encase themselves in something like a glass shell. The diatoms that were buried about 30 centimeters into the sediment date back about 200 years. Small says they typically were the kinds that are suited for colder climates. Diatoms closer to the surface sediments were those that live in warmer water. Small says the shift in this community of tiny plants could indicate bigger changes for the lakes themselves.
If the diatoms are changing, it means probably the entire ecosystem is changing. Some of these lakes quite possibly are getting warmer. It's possible that fish, for example, or other species that used to live farther south will be able to move into these lakes, and they'll totally start changing these systems after many thousands of years of being one type of system.
Small says the remains of these tiny plants are signs of larger changes in the global climate.
I think this is, again, is just adding more evidence that the climate is changing, and it's related to, at least partially, to greenhouse gas emissions. We don't want to say all these changes are due to greenhouse warming, but I think the evidence is constantly piling in that we are seeing significant changes in climate.
Small says the Arctic is showing some of the earliest and strongest signs of global warming. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
We'll be right back.
another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. Hi, Jalene.
Hello, Peter.
That was, of course, Alvin Lee, and 10 years after, I'd Love to Change the World. There was a demonstration yesterday in Seattle of up to 700 people who gathered to protest a five-day meeting of what's called the Law Enforcement Intelligence Unit, a group of intelligence agents from police departments across the country. Now, usually what these are like red squads, although they've been renamed and they've been restricted somewhat by court decisions and by ordinances to say, hey, look, you can't go out and keep track of people exercising their constitutional rights to demonstrate and organize and what have you. And throughout the last century, they alternately kept track of people organizing labor unions or civil rights groups or anti-war groups. And they're really inconsistent with what should be a democratic society. I mean, another evidence that this isn't, that they have sort of these secret police units that keep track of ordinary people. Most of us just say the hell with them, and if you want to take my photograph or follow me, go right ahead. I mean, I don't care. But unfortunately, they probably do intimidate some people, so their very existence has a chilling effect on dissent. And the rulers never want dissent. And since we have a constitution here that says, hey, you can't just forbid people to protest or to organize, they do little things like that kind of wheedle away at people's rights and people's willingness or even and sometimes courage to do it. So here you had this demonstration in Seattle, people protesting what the police are doing, and there's only one thing the police could do in response, and that's open up on them with pepper spray and rubber bullets.
Mm-hmm.
That was yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Where were we on this? Oh, yeah, we were, here, this little item as well. Thanks to JB. He sent this into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And he says, they used to give away cigarettes, remember, to the troops?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, now a brothel. Little old whorehouse in Nevada is offering free sacks to troops returning from the U.S.-Iraq war.
Oh,
ain't this America?
I thought they closed all those places down.
In Nevada?
Didn't the Mustang Ranch, the big one, didn't that close down?
Maybe it did. I don't know. This is the Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Nevada, a legal brothel.
Okay.
Also plans to extend 50% discounts on sex to military for the next few weeks.
Well, isn't that sweet of them?
Yeah, right.
Jeez, Peter.
You know, let's see. Hoff, this is, who's Hoff here? Oh, yeah, Dennis Hoff, the owner, hit on his unique gesture for honoring U.S. troops when Bunny Ranch star and former Playboy magazine centerfold Sunset Thomas was flooded with letters from the front lines.
Sunset Thomas, give me a break. Oh,
we were receiving about 20 letters a day. Hoff said, we thought when these guys are done, we'll do something special for them. Just don't tell their wives or girlfriends, right?
Hey, what was that line in that movie? Was it Apocalypse Now? Me love you long time?
Well,
is that what they're going to say?
I guess. The first 50 servicemen and women Through the door.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey. Okay.
What's up with that?
Wait a minute. Don't ask, don't tell?
I guess.
What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe this is a trap.
Maybe. Ooh. Yeah.
Through the door, we'll receive...
There's a conspiracy for
us. We'll receive a sexy knockoff of their military-issued TA-50 kits of personal hygiene items. Instead of toothbrushes and soap, Hoff's kits contains condoms, lubricant, an adult magazine, and a certificate for free sex.
Oh, please. If you've got the chick, why do you need the magazine?
Well, there you go. The magazine
Maybe
is just
I'm thinking
a substitute.
A little bit too far into this.
Yeah, let's see. 13 men and 3 women in uniform have shown up so far to claim their gifts. All told, the free and discounted sex will cost Hoff about $50,000, and this is a worthy sacrifice, he said. And you know, doesn't this disgrace people like us that aren't as patriotic as whorehouse owners?
Right.
Oh, here's the best.
I guess so.
Here's the best line from the owner of the what was it now? The Moonlight Bunny Ranch and Sunset. Where's her name? What's her last name?
Thomas.
Sunset Thomas. Yeah.
Not that I knew who she was.
Yeah. Here's what the owner said. We want to feel patriotic and feel we are doing something for our servicemen. If we owned a Dairy Queen, we would be giving away free ice cream, but we own the sex capital of the world. What better way is there to give back?
Oh, boy. Yeah. I've heard it all.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm afraid that you probably haven't.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, I don't know. Let's go back here a little bit. And I can't remember exactly what I was going to say, but Glenn from Arlington, Virginia wanted to know what to say to people when he said, look, George W. Bush, even though they had that stage-managed, totally phony setup where he landed on the USS Abraham Lincoln, the man was a deserter, a draft dodger. His rich daddy got him into the Air National Guard over all these other people. And he says, what am I going to say when people say, yeah, but Clinton was a draft dodger, and that was never reported by the media either. Well, first off, everything that Clinton ever did or said was reported to absolute death, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to remember whether this was the case, but they had some LexisNexis web search for how many times Bush... You know, they put in like Bush AWOL and Bush desertion, and there was maybe, say, 100, just for instance. And then it came up with Clinton and draft dodging, and there was like 4,000.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it was that high. Now, Clinton got a deferment, and I have to say this. I mean, maybe I could think of a nicer word to do it, but during the Vietnam era, I essentially scammed my way out of the draft.
Uh-oh.
I seriously opposed the war. I thought it was immoral, illegal, and unconstitutional in the manner that we said at the time, very similar to the illegal Bush war, unconstitutional Bush war that's going on in the occupation that's going on right now. And I'm not ashamed of that in the slightest. And I was thinking if I and here's how far my thinking went. I thought if this scam didn't work to get out, I wonder, isn't the statute of limitations over? I hope. In any event.
I hope so, too.
I thought there's one of two things I'm going to do if I'm drafted. In other words, they want to draft me. I'm telling them I oppose this war with every moral and political fiber of my body. And they're saying, too bad. You still have to go kill people or be killed, take a risk of it, or come home in the manner that so many of the young men did during that era. And your individual beliefs, your value system, we don't care about that. We're the all-powerful political state, and if we want to make you into cannon fodder, buddy, you've got no chance whatsoever. Well, that was particularly true for the men that fought it. Primarily working class, both white working class and minorities. They're the ones that didn't have the middle class scams like I did. They're the ones that didn't have the deferments. But the difference between Clinton and myself and all the rest of these chicken hawks that are now in power in Washington is they supported that war. They thought it was just grand. And the thing that they love to do the most is watching wars from the safety of their couch. They love wars. They're warmongers. They're what?
Pretty sick.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. And I was considering two things. I knew people that went into the Army and organized in the Army against the war because there was great anti-war agitation in Vietnam itself and certainly all over the bases here. There was up to 500 anti-war publications being printed in the armed services itself. I mean, this is never, this is almost unheard of.
Yeah, it really
in
is.
America. In fact, it's unheard of in America, period, that there would be politically charged, anti-war, regularly appearing publications in the armed services denouncing the war that these men were fighting.
Yeah, that's, and didn't they used to, back in Vietnam, they had a lot of meetings.
Sure.
Off the bases, right?
Yeah, and there was there were mutinies. I mean, there were fraggings, the assassinations of gung-ho officers, and they think maybe as many as 600.
Wow, that's a, yeah. I had no idea that many.
One of the reasons that the United States disengaged from Vietnam, it wasn't just that they lost the war. They were in danger of losing the armed services there, the armed forces that were there, mutinies that were... you know, beginning, and, I mean, they didn't call them mutinies. They call, you know, people were saying, we're not going out on patrol. Men over there were wearing peace signs. They wore black armbands during what were called moratoriums. There were these anti-war actions that occurred. And there was all sorts of solidarity during that time, contrary, and we, I don't want to get back into this, you know, contrary to sometimes popular belief, that there was great solidarity between the young men and women of the anti-war movement back here, primarily middle class, and the warriors who forced, were primarily forced into it by virtue of an authoritarian draft, you know, that were in Vietnam itself. So, there you go.
Thank you, Peter.
Yeah, whew. That kind of tired me, actually.
I'm sure.
Let's go back to the lies. Democratic presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich called in the Defense Department today to release the unedited footage of the rescue of Lieutenant Jessica Lynch. Remember her? She was in the Iraqi hospital, and they want to answer questions about her her injuries. And attention has been drawn to the April 1st rescue since a British Broadcasting Corporation and Associated Press interview with the Iraqis who were present suggested the dramatics surrounding Lynch's rescue were absolutely unnecessary. I mean, this is astounding, isn't it, Jolene?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, and the whole thing about them trying to return her, she wasn't a prisoner in that hospital. She was a patient.
Yeah, and they actually, some of the Iraqis nurses, they said that they bonded with her.
Yeah.
Now the Lynch family in West Virginia are forbidden by the Defense Department from commenting on all this.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Reports of the rescue say the U.S. commandos broke down doors and went in with guns drawn, carrying out Lynch to a helicopter with armed vehicle backup, even though there was no Iraqi military presence, and the hospital staff didn't resist. In fact, someone offered them a key to the doors that were locked, and they said, we'll just go through.
Yeah, so they plowed the doors down, right?
Yeah. Now, Kucinich, who's running for president, is the ranking Democrat on the House Government Reform Subcommittee on National Security, Veteran Affairs, and International Relations. Now, he's asked Darth Rumsfeld, the sinister minister for war. You know, I just love to say that.
He is sinister. So sinister.
Well, you've even neglecting, and or maybe you're not. I mean, he officially is the Secretary of Defense. But interestingly, on this program, I've never referred him that. I call him the Secretary of War or the Minister for War.
That's
to give it yeah, more appropriate and actually historical a title, because that's what, up till the end of World War II, it was the Secretary of War. Now, here is what Kucinich wants to ask the sinister Donald Rumsfeld. The lying Donald Rumsfeld. He wants to know, did U.S. troops encounter any Iraqi forces in the hospital? When U.S. forces fired upon, were they fired upon during the rescue operation? They say, I guess they say, yeah, no, they did. Did U.S. troops have information suggesting that Iraqi forces had abandoned the hospital? Did Lynch sustain any gunshot or knife wounds? Well, we know the answer to that, right?
No, yeah, she didn't.
She did not. This was all just this fabrication. Did U.S. officials have information suggesting that the hospital staff were trying to deliver Lynch to American forces? Did U.S. forces fire at ambulances? I mean, where is this going to end? And are these questions being posed anywhere other than on broadcasts like this? See, I don't... Maybe,
I doubt it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe
in conversation with people, you know, throughout life, if someone has read something like that, maybe they say, hey, did you hear? You know, but not widespread.
Well, I wonder whether this is these kind of really... I mean, this is off of Reuters. This is on Yahoo News.
Yeah.
So maybe this is, wait a minute, here? There, we have a little email that's relevant to our conversation. So I wonder, I mean, I don't ever watch the cable. So if you're listening and you want to call 1-800-TALK-YES, is all this stuff about the Lynch rescue being labeled a phony stage-managed event, is this making it into the mainstream? Oh, my God. You can't imagine this. Remember, remember when I said that there was something like 4,000 stories on LexisNexis about Clinton?
Yeah.
Here's what Mitch writes in. I guess the LexisNexis search that was done and found over 40,000 hits on the story of Clinton draft dodging was
wow.
just a myth. Yeah.
So that's a whole lot of stories.
Yeah. So they really, all of that stuff
hammered
was,
him.
Yeah.
Hammered him hard.
Uh-oh, wait a minute here, something. Oop, you got the wrong movie here. That line, me love you long time.
Yeah.
Came from Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, thank you. I didn't, you know, I've seen little parts of both of them. I can't handle the war movies. But hanging around guys who love movies, I hear that. I've heard that one through the years. You know.
Sure. Let's see. Oh, my Lord. This is getting even bigger. Here's Roy from Rio Rancho, New Mexico. He's listening to KTRC out there. Peter, I just did a Google search, entered Clinton draft, and got 359,000 references.
Whoa!
Entered Bush AWOL and got about 20,000 references. 18 times as many references Jeez. For Clinton than Bush.
Let's get that. Let's even that up a little more.
And remember now, Clinton got a deferment. This was legal.
We finally figured that out.
Yeah. Now, Bush is a little different. He, because of his father's wealth, because of the preference that is given to wealth, the privilege that is given to wealth, he wasn't going to allow his son to go into war in the manner, in fact, even that he did. Because most of the people here knew that this war was just this sinkhole. That it was, how did you get out without, quote, losing face? Without blowing the face, and instead they chose to blow the faces off of millions of Vietnamese and tens of thousands of Americans. But, wait a minute here. Actually, people really sending these in. Let's see.
About the movie?
No. This is Bush versus Clinton draft reports. Perhaps it's something like this. Quote, and let me see. This is reported in The Nation, impeachbush.com. BushAWOL.com, etc. It's not that the media are not hard on military laggards. While there were only 49 media stories about Bush's military past during his presidential campaign, there were a whopping 13,641 media reports on Clinton's Vietnam-era draft dodging during his first presidential race, according to former Clinton aide Paul Bugala.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of figures here, but it's one of the things that we get out of this, of course. If you're a Republican chicken hawk, no problem. If you're a Democrat, and think of all, you know, at the same time that all these Republicans were led by chicken hawks, men that had never done a day's military service, that were beating the war drums on the Democratic side, every one of them was a veteran. Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, we'll be right back. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Cat Boots got stuck way up in a tree. My dad saw how scared I was. He climbed up there and got it down. I feel bad. I know he hurt his back. I saw him call the doctor.
The moment of choice. What will the doctor give you, Tylenol or Advil? Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for muscle aches, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Boots is okay. Dad's feeling better. How great is that?
For better relief, advance to Advil.
Nice drive, Jim.
Ah, thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL
whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Steffen should be on all day, 24-7, yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time, that's Eastern Time, weekdays, for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right, Republicans, line up for duty. Where are you going? Hey!
Chicken hawks. Chicken hawks. Chicken hawks.
Trent Lott,
he didn't serve.
Dick Cheney,
he didn't serve.
John Ashcroft,
he didn't serve.
And George Bush was AWOL.
Chicken hawks.
Back to the show. It's Peter Werby. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Karl Rove, he didn't serve either. None of them serve. This is, we could play this song for about an hour. This is from Marty. He writes in to Peter and Jolene, didn't Clinton have a Rhodes Scholarship, which got him the educational deferment? Yeah, sure. I mean, he had a reason not to go in the Army. George W. Bush, just a party animal, snorting up half of Peru, you know?
Of course.
Yeah. Here's Greg.
Good old time.
Here's Greg. Greg, it's Peter Werby and Jolene Jordan. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks, Peter. You know, I was wondering about a way to get the Bush lies out in public, and I would hate to see people commit a crime, but so I can't possibly encourage them to make a stencil and get a can of spray paint to spray Bush lies on signs and walls and
There you go. I mean, think about it, though, that we're reduced to that in a way.
What about bumper stickers? Why don't we have, we should have those on
bumper stickers.
There you go.
You know, spread the word. He lied. Let people admit it and rejoice in the truth.
Now, well, I was just out in Santa Fe broadcasting courtesy of KTRC, and Joe, who prints up those green and white no war signs.
Yes, indeed. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. Well, Joe, here, you know, your next mission, if you choose to accept it, Bush lies, lied? What should it be? Bush lies. Lies.
Yeah, it continues.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Really true.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in here. Actually, we got another. Remember a little earlier we were talking with Mark from Dallas about vinyl records?
Yeah.
He's really down with it. He says, you really would appreciate what a modern turntable will do for that old rock and roll. He says, I'm listening to Bruce and the E Street Band. That's Bruce Springsteen, folks. And he says, I bought the album at the secondhand store for a quarter, and the sound is impeccable.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about buying a turntable and maybe doing more playing. You have a turntable.
I have a turntable, and, you know, do I have some albums or what?
You have a lot of albums.
Yeah, I do. He said, good vinyl is a treasure, and he said, here's a link to a photo of my turntable.
Send it to me, Peter. That's too funny.
Okay.
That's too funny.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Another day, another show. Thanks for being part of it, whether you're listening on the Internet, our fine radio affiliates, on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145. What are we missing? Cable or however. Thanks for being part of the broadcast. Jalene Jordan, as always, thanks to you as well. Another edition tomorrow. Have a great day.
Listening to the Peter Wurby Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The Peter Wurby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Jalene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Wurby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.